Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Carolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. All right, the IRS issued an urgent warning about a new scam to steal the electronic filing identification numbers from tax professionals over email. And cyber criminals, they can use this information to file fraudulent tax returns. And tax professionals should be aware of the latest phishing scams, but individuals should also take steps to help protect themselves too, because it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet, and in an instant, a cyber criminal could harm what's yours, your finances, your credit. But good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. It's great. It's LifeLock, right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com, promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for March 27th, 2021. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know how the show goes. We're going to play some highlights of the Adam Carolla Show. Over 12 years of podcasting to choose from, and we got some excellent clips to share. My name's Chris Loxamana, the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Ahoy hoy, Chris.
Ahoy hoy, Gio, and I'm super excited for today's show. We've got a lot of great clips here. Let's kick it off with a clip from 2017. This is Gina talking about a sign from a juice bar near her house.
A juicery. Adam Carolla Show 2122. Brett Rample, Gina Gratt, and Brian Bishop. Brett's not in this portion. This is from July of 2017. Gina walked past a juicery near her house that had a sign for inclusion that might actually be excluding some people. And we get to Gina's first news story from this episode on OJ's parole. Check it out.
What are we doing here, Gina Gratt?
Well, I forwarded something over to Gary the other day, and I would love to show you a sign that's just a few blocks from my house in the South Bay. Mm-hmm. That I took a picture special for you. I'm sorry, I put you on the spot. Do you have it?
The one today?
No, the sign, the customers.
Yeah, I got it.
Sure, great. So, you know, it's usually like no shirt, no shoes, no service, or, you know, we welcome you here. Well, there's a pressed juice place right near my house that has this sign displayed in their window. Oh, no, not that one. Sorry, from the other day. Yeah, he'll get it in a moment. Let's just say it's a family-friendly neighborhood, lots of kids running around. And I've seen this now at two locations, so they might have rolled it out to however many franchises they have.
Two locations, but the same franchise.
Same sign and same, yes, and the same juicery.
Same juicery.
That's a thing now. Oh, and I also saw a kebabbery.
Oh, kebabbery.
Right, that's what it's called.
I'm all right with a kebabbery.
Yeah. I like that, too.
Gary, I can resend it if you...
I also picture just sort of selling my parents when I was a kid on buying me $7 worth of juice. Like, are you kidding? That's your whole back-to-school clothing budget. What, you want to drink that?
All right.
And the thing that I will never wrap my mind around, which is my kids and Lynette can go get these things, take two draws off them, and just set them by the entry hall door and let them sweat out.
It's
and it's like,
gold.
I have a few items, which is if I order that pressed juice, whatever, I will drink half of it and then fill it back with water and shake it up and get a second kind of hit off it.
Second drink.
So it's welcome all.
It says welcome all. Welcome all beliefs, all colors, all countries, all sexual identities. And then it says, we do not serve racists, sexists, homophobes, or assholes.
So how does that work?
Like, what if your belief is that you don't like minorities?
Right.
You're not getting a juice there.
They welcome all beliefs.
You walk in there and you're like, excuse me, I'm from the Klan. Do you have handicapped horse parking? Oh, let me just set this cross down for a minute. Oh, I could use some electrolytes. Yeah. All right. This is beating off into a ceiling fan. It's a we're now in a competition amongst adults.
Do you have white corn? It's very important to me.
The generation before us was, your grandfather. Well, he actually lied about his age. He signed up for the military when he was 16 and a half. Mm-hmm. He was in one of the first Higgins crafts that hit the beach in Normandy, and he never talked about it. That's
the quiet dignity.
That's where we were.
Yep.
This is assholes going the other direction.
And I that was the first thing I thought about when I passed it for the second location, the second time, is that's a pretty safe choice. You're in a really progressive neighborhood. It's 2017.
For people outside the area, they're in a very...
We all agree with you. We're clapping
no
along.
No one's not identifying with that sign.
Exactly. But you take that business and you put it 50 years ago in another part of the country, and I would consider that was a pretty brave thing to do. This, not so brave. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the opposite of brave.
Exactly. But I'm saying if this was 1960
in Alabama,
yeah, that would be something courageous. This is not courageous.
Yeah. Clearly. And also, seeing as how you have no way to identify racists and no way to identify people that are closed off in their feelings or
whatever
it is.
You'll be the honor system.
But here's what...
Juicier for Duke David. Duke, comma David, your pizza plenty is ready.
All I'm saying is It's not knowable, so now it's just grandstanding. And also, who cares, right? Like, we're all done with the coexist bumper stickers and stuff. The reason I say is because I'm confounded by people who keep participating in this story. I was telling Drew about a story. Do you have that? Was it the HuffPo story? Somebody tweeted me. Again, I get all my information from you guys. You guys send me stories that sometimes delight me, sometimes exacerbate me. But there's a story. Where was that restaurant the couple out of, Gary? Do you remember? Midwest, something?
Idaho, I think. But
I thought Idaho, too. They had decided they're hip-hop fans, and they were wanting to open a restaurant with a Southern cuisine sort of south
soul food, home cooked
Southern cuisine with a hip hop theme, and it was called Me So Hungry.
And they didn't serve miso.
That's kind of clever.
Yeah, it was kind of clever, except for HuffPo got hold of it, and people are outraged. People are outraged, except for nobody's outraged.
They had to manufacture it.
Right.
I'd say so, because there's some great stuff in it.
Iowa, by the way, sorry.
They're from Iowa. They're white people who happen to love hip hop music, which again, they've appropriated or racially appropriated or whatever. And it's like, I don't think I love the Showtime Lakers. They're all black. Right. What does that mean?
Kurt Rambis is devastated.
Sorry. Most of them.
The eighth man on the team.
Yeah. What does that mean? I mean, everyone loved Michael Jackson or whoever. What does that mean?
Jimmy Iovine will tell you that the hip-hop culture was sold to probably these two restaurant owners when they were teenagers or consuming this, where it was sold to them. You know, it was packaged and sold, marketed to white teenagers.
Would you like some of the quotes from there?
So you can't be upset when they then, like, you know, because part of their...
Get on
they
board.
Love. Let's hear... Something they love because part of their lifestyle.
Tell me some of the quotes. And again...
They're not using the N-word. Are they using the N-word?
They
changed things dramatically.
The Huffington Post doesn't care about this either.
Sure.
They're just pushing it out there, but go ahead.
Some people have accused Couture and Greening, the co-owners, who are white.
When did this become acceptable? Just a pause. Who are white?
Sounds like 50
you know,
years
it's like
ago.
The cop who is white. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Of co-opting black hip hop and food culture, according to the Iowa Informer. Commenters on the restaurant's Facebook page have also said that Me So Hungry is insensitive to Asians, as it plays off the stereotypical Me So Horny line from a Vietnamese sex worker in the movie Full Metal Jacket.
Right. Except
but
for...
But was sampled in the Two Life Crew and one of their bigger hits.
Yeah. Well, not you, even but. That's you, what their reference yeah, point is.
You can't
their
have it
hip-hop.
Both ways.
No,
if this
they're
is being
hip-
sold to a group, that group can then consume it and finds their way into their life as
the point
as it
is when HuffPo does the article on the hip-hop restaurant, they go hip-hop, hip-hop, hip-hop. Now it's not convenient for them to reference hip-hop because we're talking about Asians. So we jump past Two Live Crew, which, of course, if you Google in Me So Horny, the first 10 things that come up is Two Live Crew lyrics from song, whatever it is. You'd have to search for a while before you got to the movie. Right. But what HuffPo does is they do the racially insensitive part with all the black, and now we got to pile on Asians. So how do we do that? Well, we can't do Two Live Crew. We'll just hop past the super obvious reference that clearly they were referencing when they opened the Me So Hungry Cafe, being the old school hip hop fans, and we'll go right to Vietnam.
To your point, when you put in Me So Horny...
You're just a horrible writer, by the way. Yes.
When you put in Me So Horny, the first 10 things are Two Live Crew. One of them is a Wikipedia page. You go to it, and it's not until the end of the second graph that they even reference Full Metal Jacket.
Well, the person that writes the article is not piling on. They're lying to make a point. They know what they're doing. They're talking about hip-hop and being culturally insensitive, and if that worked as a theme for when they get to the Asians, they would use that, but it's not. So they have to jump past the super obvious Two Live Crew reference and decide that it was pulled from a movie that's 40 years old.
Yeah, I don't like the part where this is the end result of that mass marketing. When you try to get your thing out to everyone, and then someone in that group of everyone is now using it in their, like, it's part of their life now. You can't have it both ways. You sold it. You made your money off of selling this thing through to the populace.
Now
it's out there.
And it's at the point where it's like, you can't be white and open a taco stand.
That happened in, was it Oregon or Washington? Those two women, they shut their stand down. Also,
As I've said, and I really mean it, never been a better time to be an actual racist. You're being lumped in.
We can't go to the juicery in Gina's neighborhood.
I passed this headline the other day, and it really stuck with me. You know, you think liberal, you think left-leaning, you think, you know, colorblind, free, you know, be with whoever you want. It's a non-issue. Well, this is the headline talking about, Brian, you saw The Big Sick, right? Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, I liked it.
And I don't know how much is based on a true story or their relationship.
Largely.
Okay, so he's with a white girl. I don't know
if
that's true.
He's married to Emily Gordon, yeah.
Okay, great. So it's his story. I heard it's wonderful. And the headline talking about the movie is, I'm tired of watching brown men fall in love with white women on screen.
Oh, boy.
Get that drop.
Please don't.
Yep.
So it's like, why that, to your point of just picking out the part that you want to highlight, why would you say that? It just seems so disrespectful to them, to Kumail and his wife.
Well, first off, I like that the left is just eating its own tail. Not liberals, the left, which is the thing they used to applaud a few short years ago.
This was progress. Depicting this in major motion pictures.
Now it's become completely acceptable, and now they're doubling back and deciding it wasn't. And yes, it's insane when people make racist remarks to make allegations of racism. Mm.
Yeah,
that's a special kind of irony.
And it would be a terrible and upsetting game for us to play, but if we pulled enough of these headlines from throughout the ages and would have to figure out what side politically they were on. I mean, this sounds like something you would have heard many decades ago, and people wouldn't have appreciated. I don't like seeing brown men with white women.
I could also...
Brian, please, I'm begging you.
I see this as a very powerful selling point, which is, hey, white woman, want a brown-skinned fella, but are scared of a huge, wide cock?
I only have so much room on this computer, please.
May interest you in an Indian fella. All right.
Let's just step down. It's the poor man's. It's the entry level.
Well, I'm just saying, you get the brown skin. You get the street cred and the brown skin without the chafing. That's all.
Best of both worlds.
That's right. All right. What do we got?
Want to do some news?
Yeah.
All right.
Ah, finally. Give you the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Great. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Now, since the show started today, there really hasn't been anything else breaking in terms of the O.J. verdict. We can go over a few of his quotes, or we can move on from it.
How about my heart when I found out I couldn't go to that smoothie joint in Venice?
Well, I'll just give you an overview. So they did, the Nevada Parole Board did grant O.J. Simpson parole. He said, I've done my time. I've done it as well and as respectfully as I think anyone can. He served 9 of the 9 to 33 year sentence for armed robbery and kidnapping in Las Vegas. He's expected to be released as early as October. He plans to move, to his home in Florida. He's 70 now. He says his, they say Simpson's energy and charm seemed little affected by his time behind bars. It's from CNN. He was alert, engaged, and quick to smile at the parole hearing, even letting out a hearty laugh when parole board chairman Connie Bisbee accidentally said he was 90. He let out a big laugh and said, oh, I feel like it. So it was very jovial.
You got juiced.
That exists. That
does.
That exists somewhere online. So he was very, you know, quote unquote, charming, jovial. And they said these things usually take 15 to 20 minutes. This took over, well over an hour because he wouldn't stop talking. He's just talking. It went at least 45 minutes over. And at one point, he kind of raised his hand like he had something else to say. And the man sitting next to him, his counsel, put his hand down for him. Mm-hmm. So, like, stop. We're kind of – now you can only get yourself in trouble.
I'm going to start a restaurant called Miso Talky.
Miso Chatty.
So he needs to be out front. He needs to be in the limelight. I think he needs the camera. He needs the exposure. He needs the attention. And he's kind of like, you know, when a hot chick starts losing the looks and they start dressing provocatively and talking sexy and discussing a spread and Playboy or something, you notice, like,
and they can say the crazy things that they would have gotten away with 10 years ago because everyone's like, well,
they didn't have to say it 10 years ago anymore.
Yeah. And my prediction is that he will start discussing the murder case, and
he was headed down that road before.
Yes, and he will say something, much like the chick who's out of options, and you go, but she would never do porn. It's like, yeah, well, she's got to make money, and this is about the only, you know, Avis isn't knocking. This is pretty much it.
Hurts.
Yeah, hurts, sorry.
Either way.
No, but I'm saying Avis. Yeah. I was going to get to all Alamo and all the other car companies.
Yeah. Dollar National.
Dollar now. So, Alamo's such a weird name for a rental car company. It's like a bunch of guys died in a fort made of mud. Yeah, thinks Mobilis. See the country. The notion that this is it. Like, this is all anybody wants to hear about. And if you can do the Monica Lewinsky thing and sort of get on with it.
Right.
I think you can get on with it. But if you're Monica Lewinsky and you're 70 and all anyone wants to know about is you and the president and you need to make money and you need to be out front and you need people to do interviews with you, this is going to be it.
Yeah.
And I predict there's going to be, he's going to get older. His brain's going to get a little more feeble and he's going to surround himself with crazy people in Florida. And I predict there will be a weird pay-per-view sit down. Lie detector. There's going to be something. He's not done.
Sideshow.
There's going to be a sort of Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather sort of thing that's going to come.
Some circus.
Of this.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yes or no question for both of you. Will Donald Trump golf with him?
Oh.
In Florida, Mar-a-Lago.
Will he be seen? Will there be photographic evidence Donald Trump golfing with him?
No, I don't. Not because I don't believe Donald Trump would golf with him, but I believe that everybody within 4 feet of Donald Trump would, like, tackle him. Not that he's controllable. The tweet,
I was going to say, a lot of people like him did a lot less of a lot of things.
The tweets are hard to control. He's waking up in the middle of the night. But
on the crapper, yeah.
Right. But this is kind of plannable, controllable, gets on a schedule.
So you say no?
I say no. I think the people around him does he like OJ?
Well, I know he respects him, but I don't know if he likes him.
The more I think about Donald Trump, I think he likes driving a lot of people nuts. And I think this would drive a lot of people nuts.
Yeah, I think.
Especially on the left.
I'm going to take the other side and I say, absolutely, because they both like the attention. They like to be around other people with attention. And Trump might position it as saying, I respect our legal system. They made, you know, the parole board paroled him because he served his time. So this is a shining example of the legal system. You never know how he would spin it.
So you think there's a better than average chance?
Yeah.
No.
In Florida, Mar-a-Lago,
I'll go with a outside slim chance. Just because I don't think there were, if there were golf buddies. Uh-huh. I don't know if they were golf buddies before. But
let's amend it. Do you this will be much lesser. Do you think there's a good chance that living in Florida, he will be a member of Mar-a-Lago? He will frequent that particular golf course.
I hope they're not letting the blacks in. But
it's not the Mar-a-Lago I know.
We can get them in the same room again.
We got a picture of young Trump, young OJ, and the Jewish-looking man.
And Moshe Kasher in back.
There's a few of
and
these,
Luis Guzman on the side.
They at least knew each other.
But you could find, between OJ and Trump, you could find 3,000 pictures of three. You name a luminary. There's a
picture of OJ and Howard Stern on the back of Howard Stern's book, you know, because years earlier he had taken a picture with him.
Right.
Because OJ has a picture with everyone.
Charles Lindbergh, you could throw out, and there'd be young OJ standing next to an airplane and him. Right. Yeah. But no, I there can't be a better than average chance.
All I know is I wouldn't be surprised.
I would be surprised, but I wouldn't say it's impossible.
I'd say it's below average chance, but at 5-1 odds, for example, I would absolutely take that bet.
Oh.
And like, now we play the waiting
20%
game.
20% chance? Mm-hmm. Well, first off, OJ's got to get in the golf club, and he's got to get some money, and he owes a ton of money. And those golf clubs are $100,000.
Yeah. But I think at some point the
way more. So says, yeah. I mean, it's like the original. You know, you give him $100,000, and then it's $200,000 a year or whatever it is, or something insane.
I think I read that Mar-a-Lago is up to like $250,000 in entry fees, and then it's close to six figures per year, and there's a minimum you must spend each month, or they just charge you.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pricey.
A lot of people making dinner reservations on the 29th.
Yeah, so I'm going on no, but it'd still be funny.
Yeah.
That clip from 2017. And a nice little story from Gina. It's great to have her back. She's been gone for a week, and big ups to Mike Dawson for filling in those shoes. It's not easy. It's not easy, and Mike Dawson will tell you himself. But
you all did great. It took a village to fill the role of Gina's absence.
It really was weird. Like, the whole dynamic changed, and we kind of had to fill it in.
Yeah, you're running it out of studio, and you have to press buttons while Dawson's reading news.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Do we leave that in? Oh, shoot. Anyway, let's get going with our next clip. This is from 2016 featuring Representative Richard Martin.
Adam Carolla Show, 1746, January of 2016. We got Richard Martin, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. It's just Richard entering the studio before the news, his full segment. Check it out.
Richard Martin is here. A lot going on. Got the debate that happened yesterday. We got Cruz and Trump pretty much knotted up. I mean, Trump's ahead 33%, Cruz at 26. Richard, can I call you that?
Absolutely. It's good to see you, Alan.
Adam.
Adam.
It's good. You have a lovely wife. I cannot remember her name.
Jazz, right. is her name. She's in trouble with me. So,
oh, really? Yeah, she get into your Sprite? I think
Diet Sunkist is.
Oh, Diet Sunkist.
Yeah, we keep it locked up in the fridge, and she gets it when she's been good. But I caught her meditating.
Oh, a lot of people meditate.
Well, you may feel that it's okay, but you know. In my opinion, meditation was invented by liberals to make fun of Jesus.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize
that. Yeah, staring into space never got anybody a bigger home.
Well, I think for some people, it's a way of relaxation, and it's a way of sort of getting themselves aligned,
clearing,
you know,
your
sort
thoughts.
Of spiritually.
Well,
you know,
that's the same thing that they say about yoga, which is again a lie. Yoga, from what I've been told, was invented by people that do voodoo as a way to cool the baby off after they've roasted it. To cool the meat off.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
I don't think that's
right. Who told you
that? Right?
Some of the fellas that I golf with.
Oh.
I don't know if
they're
And the other thing experts. That I've heard is it's a way to relax the anus before gays have sex.
Oh. Well, I couldn't hoit.
I think it actually does happen.
I don't think that's its sole purpose. I think that might be sort of an ancillary thing. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the Jazz, I'm sorry, your wife?
Yeah. So she's, well, what I do when she's been bad is I take her to one of the corners of the United States and I drop her off in the wilderness and let her find her way back without money because clearly her character needs building and that's how we build it.
What did she do wrong?
I caught her meditating.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was just the meditation.
He was serious about that.
Just the meditation.
Yeah. Well, you know,
in the house,
I'm a Christian, and I don't want to be married to a pagan.
Well, I think okay. I'm not. I don't argue with the guest. I just feel like that's a little harsh.
We'll agree to disagree.
Okay. Wow. And did she admit to meditating, or
she tried to hide it? Yeah.
Uh-huh. By saying, oh, I was just sort of looking off.
That's what she said. But I could tell. I know when she's lying. Uh-huh. I know when she's lying.
But how could you tell if someone was meditating versus just sort of quietly looking off?
They have a peaceful look on their face, which sickens me.
Oh, I see. She looked content.
She looked content.
Oh, yeah. We can't have that.
Well, if people who are content don't go out and earn more money. Mm. Uh-huh. So it's one of the problems that we have with our country is there are just too many people that have an inner peace.
Mm. And so you want that fire in the belly.
Absolutely.
You don't want that fire doused out with Diet Sunkist.
The Chinese have it. They got the fire in the belly. They got their kids working.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we need to do. We need to bring back child labor.
Well,
I got a bill right now called Little Labor, and it's
apostrophe labor.
Yeah, apostrophe labor. It's time to get the our best workers and our least expensive workers back into the fold. You know,
well,
there's lots
speaking
of
fold like. Newspaper routes and things like that.
Oh, no. I'm talking industrial things. All our warehouses are closed, and there's a way to get them back open. Kids don't know, you know, that you're paying them a dollar an hour. They think that's a huge amount of money. They're getting $5, you know, for their allowance. And a lot of these kids they're not very bright. School's a waste for them, but you know when you
so after school they'd go to the
oh no instead of school they go to it. Look at it, kids don't need a cigarette break.
Mm.
That's true.
They can't spell union.
Mm. That's also true.
That's good point.
True. All right. You know the pluses go on and on.
Where are you at with what's going on now politically? I mean, Hillary Clinton. Not a fan.
What do you think, Adam?
I'm guessing not a big fan of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. I mean, she stood by a man who inserted a cigar into a gal while the embargo against Cuba was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the treachery of that.
Yeah.
And don't even get me started on Benghazi. I mean, can you imagine what would have happened if she had been protecting us on 9/11?
Could have been a third tower.
I'm not sure. I haven't really thought about that.
We already pretty much had the two towers.
She has a lesbian quality that I find very distracting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of gals around here. A lot of comfortable shoes.
Mm-hmm.
She probably meditates.
Probably
do with being dropped off in the corner of the country and finding a way back.
She could use that.
Yeah.
Which corner did you drop your wife, Jazz?
I went Seattle this time.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I go Florida. Other times I go Tijuana. Well, just right on the border.
Right, not in Tijuana.
I'm thinking of doing Hawaii, but she can't swim.
Yeah, and that's probably not much of a punishment.
Yeah.
What about Bernie Sanders, then? Is that someone you'd like to throw your support behind?
Do you want to see the country run by Jackie Mason?
Is that really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's pretty Jewish. He's a Jewish fellow.
I have nothing but love for the Jewish people, but the amount of spittle coming off of that man when he speaks.
Yeah, he's passionate.
And he's a communist. He's a straight-up communist.
I don't think he bills himself as a communist, though.
Well, of course he doesn't. Because he wants to trick us. He wants to take my bomber jacket.
Uh-huh.
I have a collection of bomber jackets that is the envy of my neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Oh, I have a Planet Hollywood.
Oh,
I have a Hard Rock Cafe.
Wow.
In fact, I don't know if you know this, but I am running as a write-in candidate.
Oh,
and
really?
If I get elected, I will make bomber jackets tax deductible.
Wow.
Yeah, I will
make
tax.
Is that kind of a 90s thing? Or maybe a, you know, a Top Gun kind of era? I mean,
oh,
I remember
you're talking about my favorite movie.
Okay. So,
oh, man.
So, but you like the.
Deuce is my wingman.
Yeah.
So you got. That and 300. I love to
those
drink
two
a lot of cognac, take my shirt off, and watch those two.
Mm-hmm. So you have the Planet Hollywood one.
Oh, yeah.
You have, what was the other one?
Hard Rock Cafe.
Hard Rock Cafe. Oh, yeah. So that's pretty cool.
I hope one day the Cheesecake Factory makes one.
Oh, they don't
That'd
make
be pretty
one.
Sweet.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet. That's one of the things I'm doing on my swing. I drop jazz off, then I tour all the Cheesecake Factories down the West Coast.
Yeah.
I stop in Santa Barbara, and we do a fundraiser for suburban couples struggling to afford a second home.
Uh-huh.
And every American deserves to have a second home that is empty and heated or cooled.
Well, would this be a rental property or like a vacation home?
Oh, no, vacation. Vacation.
Oh, okay. Well, what about the people who don't have any homes?
I don't know any of those people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
there's
maybe
a lot of them.
I think everybody's making that up, the poor people. They've got a home.
They may not be in your foursome.
Yeah.
And they may not have a bomber jacket collection, but I've passed a lot of homeless people driving through Los Angeles. I don't think they own homes.
You don't think that's just part of a movie set?
I don't think so.
We are in Hollywood.
It could
there's a lot of shenanigans going on in the belly of the beast, as I call LA.
Oh, LA, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
homosexuality is on full display here.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. We don't hide.
We flaunt it, actually.
You flaunt it. Have you seen one of those parades?
The gay parade?
Yeah.
Not really. Well, actually, I was participating in one once when I was doing Kevin and Bean. Me and Jimmy Kimmel had a float in the gay parade.
I am so sorry.
Yeah, it was a very interesting day. I remember being I was one of the village people and got quite the sunburn.
You were celebrated.
They were gay, the village people?
I think the black fella was not.
Uh-huh.
But I sadly, because I think everyone thought he must be gay as
gay
well.
Gay by association.
To the best of my knowledge, the black fella was not gay. But everyone else in the village people was extra gay.
Yeah.
For him.
I can't respect a man who gives into his gay thoughts. I can't, you know.
But don't you think you're just born that way? Just like you enjoy skinny blonde ladies?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So that's you. That's your proclivity. I mean, you were born with that, right?
Right. But
so as a gay man might say, well, I was just born being attracted to men.
Why would God make us that way?
Well,
why would he?
Maybe
if we're not going to procreate, why would God
maybe
make
he's trying
us
to thin the herd a little.
Yeah,
you know?
We're overpopulated.
Yeah, maybe we're overpopulated. Like maybe the gay guy is just born and goes, you know, I'm not attracted to the skinny blonde young woman who likes Diet Sun Kids.
I just don't think they're fighting their gay thoughts the way the rest of us do.
Oh,
interesting.
So you're saying we all have gay thoughts?
Yeah, I mean that's the devil's chatter.
Yeah,
everybody experiences that. But
hold on a second. Hold on. Let me, Brian.
Rarely, if ever.
Do you think you hear? I mean, do you have like a little
a little gay devil on my shoulder?
Yeah, I mean, just that. Like you're attracted to Gary, but you realize it wouldn't be appropriate at work, and you're a married man, and you know you respect Christy, and
tamp that down.
She lets you drive the Jag on weekends, don't want to screw that up.
Yeah, no, I don't want to risk that. That again, these thoughts rarely, if ever, occur.
I don't think I've ever had.
Yeah,
you
know, I'm going to say I can't specifically recall a time. It's possible. But
I have impure thoughts too.
Sure. Oh,
but
yeah.
Not so much the gay voice. You think that's pretty normal?
This is news to me.
Weird out of
this is not something I desire.
Right.
This
right.
is just a thought. And the gays are people that are spiritually and morally weak that give into that.
Because so you're
much like, you know, you're on a bus and there's an old lady in front of you and that voice in your head says, throw her off the bus. Do it.
Right.
And you don't do it. Because you know morally it's wrong.
Right. I mean, yes. I mean, correct.
You're on a cliff and there's a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're going to think, I want to grab it by its little head and fling it like a sack of potatoes into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't.
Right. you've mastered yourself.
Yeah. You resist those common ubiquitous thoughts.
Impulse control.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You see a crowd of people. You're driving your Hummer.
Right.
And you imagine the sound of their
Humvee.
Bones. Oh, yeah. I have three.
Oh, you have three?
Yeah. One has ostrich seats. The other has rattlesnake seats.
Uh-huh.
And the third has homeless people seats. So I guess there are homeless people.
So
skin is very crackly on that one.
You actually have three. This thing's, what kind of mileage do they get?
They get a half a mile per gallon.
Wow.
Yeah. We had to build a string of gas stations between my house and my work.
Why? Because they got that.
Because it couldn't make it. It couldn't make it all the way.
That Cheesecake Factory tour must be hell on your gas mileage.
It's terrible.
Aren't you worried a little about the whole greenhouse thing and ozone? And
you buy into that, do you, Adam?
Well,
you go ahead and you buy into that. Why not?
Well, there's a lot of science that suggests that, with the carbon footprint.
God made clouds, so should we.
Oh, really?
That's our way out. High five in the big man.
All right. Okay. And so back to homosexuality for just one second here.
Sure.
So your theory is that all guys are essentially born with this urge. I guess I would liken it to
it's more the thoughts. It's not an urge. I'm not gay.
All right. Right.
Desire.
Right.
Right.
Saying
right.
You're gay.
Yeah,
it's the thought. The thought. Yeah.
It's but a thought. Like I said, like plowing your Hummer into a group of people so you can hear the bones snap.
Right. But
I don't
want
to
do
that.
We don't do
but
it.
The thought, of course.
The thought is
so
there.
Can I make this analogy?
Yeah.
After I eat dinner, I think, boy, it'd be nice to have a nice piece of pie.
Yeah.
I like some dessert. Boy, that would really hit the spot about now. But then I look down and I go, I got a little gut on me and I'm carrying some few pounds from the holidays. I really would like to do this, but, I'm gonna fight. I'm going to resist. I'm going to resist this urge to do this. No dessert. And, it's tough, but I've resisted it.
Sure.
That's sort of the thought with the gays.
And
they're
dessert.
They're weak who are having the dessert, right?
But you desire the pie. I don't desire to lay with another man.
Uh-huh.
It is the devil's chatter. That's the only way.
But you have the thoughts.
The thoughts.
Okay, yeah. But not the desire.
Adam, you
it.
Think how great would that pie feel in my mouth and vice versa? Yeah. And Richard's like, he knows there's interest, in that.
Mm-hmm. There's none.
So the
I have orgasmed on top of another man. But that was in college and we were just wrestling.
But don't you think that – how big were his calves, by the way? Because I think if they're skinnier, you'd have a harder chance to take them down.
Were one or both of them nude?
Naked, right?
We had on polo shirts, but
– nothing else?
Yeah.
And you actually had – he brought you to orgasm? Would you say it that way?
Something happened.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I remember I froze.
Uh-huh. And
I froze.
And you orgasm. But you don't think that was – homosexual behavior activity?
No, because I had him pinned.
Oh, okay.
So you defeated him in combat.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't win.
Yeah, like a man.
If there's a victor and a vanquished, how could that be gay?
Especially, the roles are established.
Yeah,
right.
The icing on that vanquished cake, too. You know what I mean? That really puts your stamp on it, so to speak.
Drives the victory home.
Uh-huh. And Jazz, your wife?
Yeah.
Does she know about this? Or
we don't really talk.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's probably for the best.
I think it's the kind of thing I can say as a married man that my wife would have feelings about. She'd have a take, I would assume.
She always winds up crying when we talk. And it's so unattractive with the mascara. Man can't make a baby with a raccoon.
I hear that.
Do you have children?
Three.
Well, you're obviously not gay in that case.
Ronald, Wilson, and Reagan.
Right.
Yeah, they're
didn't
they're
one
tremendous.
Of them have a little scrape with the law or something?
Ronnie. Ronnie was one of the – he's in high school. He's on the football team. And some gal claimed that they took liberties with her when she was drunk, which is ridiculous because, they're undefeated and she's ugly. Doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
That's a serious allegation.
But he is recovering. He got a concussion playing football, and he has a diminished sense of entitlement, and we're concerned. He hasn't talked about himself in the third person in over a month.
Got to see a specialist.
Yeah. MRI. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think he's going to pull through.
Okay. All right. And the thing with the gals, that kind of went away? Or
it did. It did. Yeah.
Okay. Did you help make that go away?
I'm not legally allowed to talk about it.
Understood. Yeah. But you have man in your position. I has some sway.
Yeah, do the math.
Absolutely.
And so just quickly before we go on to the news, we have the representative from the Jewish Journal here today. It's a publication. they're doing an article on Gina Grad.
Hi.
You're Gina.
Yeah,
she's
it's
Jewish.
Pleasure to meet you. What a pretty gal.
Oh, thank you.
I love that you wear makeup. You know, that's what always puzzles me about when you see a lesbian couple and they don't have makeup. It's like you would think you got two gals that could be giving each other makeup tips, and not one of them.
Right?
Yeah. Not one of them.
Yeah,
does
it should be extra makeup.
If anything, double down.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
never really thought of it that way. You read the Jewish Journal much? You're familiar with it?
I have not. I have a lot of opinions about the Middle East, which may not be popular. But I certainly support our friends over there.
The Israelis?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you're on the happy side of the good side of this fight over there.
Sure. Huh? I just kind of wish they'd all go to Israel.
Oh, well,
all the Jews
the
that are
here?
In Palestine or here?
I just want our country to have normal-looking people.
Oh, wait a minute.
The way our forefathers looked.
I don't even know if I could pick out a Jewish person, I mean, in terms of aesthetics. Do you? Yeah. You think you would recognize the difference between a Christian and a Jew just if you didn't know?
I think it can.
I
think I can.
You could do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, what would you look for? If I just said, well, here's one fella, he could be Christian or Jewish, and then here's another fella and another gal, and they could be either one. And I had a sign that said Christian and then Jew. I said, no, go ahead. You know, like game show. Do you think you could do that?
Well, you know, it's kind of like that judge said about pornography, or was it a senator that said, I can't describe it, but I know it when I see it.
You know, you would know a Jew when you saw one.
And, yeah.
It's a general vibe.
It's a feeling.
Uh-huh.
It's a feeling. It's how I feel about all non-Christians. I don't discriminate.
Uh-huh.
I hate all non-Christians.
Right. Okay. So you don't single out a group.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay.
I mean, if Christians, non-Christians were supposed to be in this country, why would Jesus have written the Constitution?
Oh.
Touché.
That's a good point.
I don't. Yeah. Well, all right. So I don't want to argue, but... then, like when Trump says he doesn't want any of the folks of the Muslim faith coming into the country, is that something you would support?
Amen.
Oh, so
and he talks about, you know, when we get a terrorist, we should not only kill them, but we should kill their family. Mm-hmm. I don't think that goes far enough.
Oh, really?
I think we should kill all their friends on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everyone they communicate with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, what's even worse than the terrorism, what's worse than ISIS is Planned Parenthood.
Mm. That's going pretty far.
Oh, no. I mean, ISIS doesn't try to sell the heads.
Uh-huh. They just cut them off.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not auctioning those babies off. Yeah. Pardon the pun. Yeah. Yeah. That must be, as a Christian, pretty upsetting to you seeing that kind of video.
I mean, there's just something sketchy about the whole Middle East. I don't trust people that don't have a lush front lawn.
Not a lot of flora.
Pride starts at the curb. And it works its way to the den.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of an animal doesn't play bumper pool?
Yeah, there's no bumper pool. There's no lawn and sod. There's not much curb appeal. I don't even think there's a curb. I'm not sure where the street is. I never thought about
boulders
that.
And blood.
Yeah.
Boulders and blood.
Yeah.
You know, my lawn, out of the corner of your eye, if you looked at my lawn, you would think it was David Cassidy's head of hair.
Really? Oh. That's sweet.
Huh? When the wind hits it right, it's feathered. When the wind hits it right, it's feathered.
Wow.
And I take tremendous pride in that.
And I'm guessing you have a backyard swimming pool with like the cultured slide that has, like, they do all this great stuff.
Yeah.
Do all the stamped rocks and they spray the gunite, the lightweight concrete and the color, and it looks glorious. Like, you know, looks like it's something coming out of a theme park.
We got a Mount Rushmore.
Oh, in your backyard?
Yeah.
Oh.
But there's no Roosevelt.
Oh.
We have William F. Buckley instead of Roosevelt.
Interesting.
It's quite a liberty you took there with the.
Yeah.
So they did that. You got the swimming pool, the water slide, and everything like there.
It's pretty neat. You got a flag on the bottom of the pool.
Oh, that's nice.
But nobody's allowed to touch it with their feet.
Oh.
Oh
yeah, we've had six people drown.
Wow, trying to, just treading water, especially young kids.
But they died patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Putting green, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He takes a lot of pride in his lawn. Do you?
It's gorgeous.
Well, you take so much pride, you must care for your lawn yourself. Do the trimming and do the lawn work and the yard work.
Oh, that's a good one, Brian. That's a good one.
I just assumed you took most pride in it.
Yeah, no, we got a Asian fella that
Asian
does a tremendous tremendous job. We got good.
He's out there in Ohio. Yeah, out here it'd probably be a Hispanic fella, I think.
Probably, but you know how I feel about that whole deal. That whole deal.
Hispanic people?
Well, the immigrants. It's I like to say, a churro is nothing but a donut that's here illegally.
Wow. Never broke it down into food.
I mean, it makes sense, but it sounds...
Yeah.
Mexicans make two things, tortillas and trouble.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that are here illegally, I congratulate you, and I welcome you to the other side of town.
Oh, right.
Interesting.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, would you like to sit in and do some news?
Oh,
by the way,
I'd love to.
You can go to askarepublican.com and find out everything that's going on with Representative Richard Martin.
It's been a while since we updated the website, but I got one of my campaign videos on there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. And you can follow me on Twitter at Ohio Congressman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's been a while, but it's great. To see you
it's always neat to see you, and it's nice to meet this gal over here and to see the ball.
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but she is of the Jewish persuasion, and that's why the fellow over there from the Jewish Journal is doing
what a day for the Jewish Journal reporter to come
doing a whole piece.
That fellow's a Jew,
the one in the back
in the waiting room.
Yeah,
I would guess so. Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned.
Oh, see, you didn't notice. Yeah. You talked to him and everything,
Ding-a-dang.
He did not notice he was Jewish, huh?
I did not.
So
I
you're,
did not. He seemed nice.
You're Wait, he seemed nice?
Yeah.
What? You're sort of implying that Jews aren't nice.
No, it's just there is a thing to non-Christians that you can tell. The hair on the back of my neck goes up when I'm around non-Christians.
Am I making you uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
No, and not at all. I'm aware that you're on my left, but...
One eye always...
Right.
Yeah.
Can I ask the representative question? So I assume, when you and your wife both leave for work at the same time in the morning... Oh, I'm sorry.
My wife does not work.
Oh, my wife, I had a question about when you guys both get home at the same time.
No, but if you want to, hypothetically...
Oh, okay, she doesn't leave the house.
She didn't leave the house.
Okay, unless she's being dropped off in Seattle.
Unless she's being dropped off in a corner.
All
we call it corner play.
And that was Representative Richard Martin, played by Paul Gilmartin, back in...
Yeah, before he write any letters, that's a super liberal comedian, Paul Gilmartin, with a parody character that he does on The Adam Carolla Show. I think he's done it on other radio shows and stuff, but it kind of has become a staple of Carolla, and the funniest riffs I've ever heard him do are on The Adam Carolla Show. And when it comes to characters, it really is hit or miss with Adam, and Paul Gilmartin manages to hit every time.
And I'll tell you, none of these... things that they talk about are rehearsed at all. There's no talking points given before the show. It's not like Paul's saying, hey, feed me this line or anything. It's really just he comes in dressed as Representative Richard Martin, very method.
With that specific button-up shirt with the colors that don't match.
Yeah, exactly. The cuffs and collars that are different than the color of his shirt. And they just go. And it's really amazing to watch. It's amazing to listen to. And yeah, I'm glad we got to play that clip.
I think it might be the funniest one, but it's definitely one of the funniest. I can't tell. It's one of these things where every time I'm like, more Richard Martin. I know how this is going to go. And then every time they take me on a new path, and I'm like, oh, wow, they surprise me.
They're all great. Every time I think of Representative Richard Martin, I think of him smiling and one of those little glings, like in his teeth.
Yeah.
Just, for some reason, my brain just automatically does it now. All right, let's get going with another clip. This is from 2016. We're fresh back from our Monterey trip. And I remember making a little video of Sonny to tell Lynette that he's okay.
Yeah, you guys weren't doing weird things. Adam Carolla Show, 1886. Eddie Braun, not in this portion. Joe Coy, Gina Grand, Brian Bishop. August of 2016. Return from the Quail Lodge. Adam didn't get deraced. We got Sonny's hostage video. And we got Q&As with Joe Coy in studio. Check it out.
Yes.
Now, this is an adorable video, but when I read all the comments, there was one common theme.
Hey, Mom. It's Sonny. They're taking really good care of me. I am safe. And especially Chris and Dad. Bye.
And he is drunk.
That's a hostage video.
It does. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't get cuter than that. But every single person was like, is that a hostage video?
Is he
blinking Morse code?
Yeah.
I am safe. Hello. Greetings.
My captors are treating me well.
He had hungry lips, dry lips.
South to America.
All right.
I think he said Dad is drunk and he looks homeless with his eyes.
All right. I got a lot more to tell you about this, but we'll go on. I'll do part two tomorrow because there's plenty to get to. Let's see. Charles, 42, Berlin.
Hey.
Hey, Charles. Doing? Yeah, man. What's going on?
I just want to ask you, not much is going on. Just want to ask you, why do you think that you're not really so respected within the whole scene there in Hollywood?
Mm-hmm.
A while ago. Mm,
yes.
I think it was probably 2 months ago that on a podcast you talked about Adam Carolla Day in Nevada, and you listed off all of your accomplishments and quite a few. And why do you think that people don't respect you?
Well, I don't know that they disrespect me. I think that you have a sort of a... I'll give you an example. You have to do... You have to pick a sport in this town, usually. Like stand-up. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I don't... I'm not a traditional stand-up or even, like, known for being a stand-up. So when they start talking about, like, who's the best or who's the funniest, they choose from a list of stand-ups oftentimes, or film actors, or who's the funniest actor, or whatever. If you hop around as much as I hop around, you don't really get credit for the one thing.
You don't make anyone's official list of anything.
Right.
Like, who's the best documentarian?
But also,
who's the best comedian?
I do understand that I'm perceived as a bit of a clod. I do get that part.
But what I want to ask is, I mean, that's what you do is quite impressive.
I'm blown away by myself.
I know, but why don't other people respect you for that? I mean,
you cannot imagine how wrong you are.
I don't. It was. thank you. Is it Jane Goodall?
Jane, Brian, thanks.
Jane does not agree.
No, somebody, Brian Callen, who I love, and you'll find out why after this, said, like, look, we're always talking about, like, who's the funniest, who's the funniest stand-up, but what Adam does is he goes out on stage for an hour and a half and basically makes it up. Like, who's doing that, and then how come he gets no credit
exactly
for doing
about.
That, and why is there a category for that? Because most of the people we're talking about can't do that, that part. They do an act,
which is fine, but
it's weird that, in a weird way, we're doing a dive that has a higher difficulty level to stick, and we'll stick it most of the time, but we don't get points for the dive, which is a weird thing. But, you know, people also have a pretty limited time to think about things, you know? And so, you know, there's that. But also, look, it doesn't help that I make three films that are very highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and none of them get into Sundance. Like, that is not helping. Like, when I sent Tom Arnold a, he said, oh, I love The Hammer, but I said, check out the Paul Newman doc. And he was like, oh my God, it's blown away. When's it coming out? And I said, it's out. It's been out for a year. Oh, how'd it do at Sundance? Like, it didn't get accepted. He's like, what? It didn't get accepted. It's like, oh, well, how come? It's like, cause I'm not part of that group and it does hurt. It's nice to have Sundance.
Tom's super sensitive about things.
Nice to have Sundance on things.
You might need to make the nice with the Huffington Post.
Maybe that's it.
I think that'll help.
Olive branch.
Yeah. And so it's a little bit of that,
Joe,
probably.
Why
do
all your Hollywood buddies hate Adam?
No, they don't. Everybody loves Adam.
That's
the weird thing. I don't understand that because everybody in my circle bows down to Adam. Like the same compliment
part of the culture, though.
That's how they greet each other. Yeah. Some people shake hands.
Adam is walking in. Everyone bow. No.
Let me tell you guys about how parking folks ought to treat rich people. So here I am. I'm going from the Quail. I'm going over to the 17-mile drive.
Tell us about the Chris Laxamana.
He's a fringe player.
He's the real star of the show.
But he's the real McCartney.
I bring him along as more of a less of a...
But here's the reason why you're funny, because you have an Asian sidekick.
Well, you know how you get a rawhide chew toy for your dog, kind of keep it busy?
Yeah.
I kind of do that with my son, with Max Zapata. I throw him in the back.
But he's a real good hard worker.
He eats a lot. I'll tell you that much. He can eat.
He really like a Rolls Royce.
He eats the whole. He eats the shrimp tails after my son is done with the tempura shrimp. He then eats the tails before it gets thrown away.
We love a tail.
Yeah.
How's his Civic doing?
How's his Civic?
How is his Civic?
Oh, Civic.
Doing?
I thought you said Civic duty.
No way would he do that. How's his Civic doing?
His Civic. That's in the Smithsonian. He stepped up to a Prius. That's next to Archie's chair.
Oh, that's a great.
Yeah, so it's been retired. Anyway, now where was I? So there I am.
He still have a baby hair and he call it a beard?
A beard? Yeah.
Does he have a baby hair?
It's
and
baby
call
hair.
It a beard.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird fuzz. Yeah, it's like what an infant's born with. But yeah.
He is the only reason why we know you.
Oh, who? Yeah. Max Zapata?
Yeah.
Yeah, funny when my son calls him that.
We have no idea who you are, but he is really a fun guy.
I'm very well-respected within your community.
Oh, very well-respected.
Very well-respected in your community. Yeah.
In the community.
Yeah, if you in the community.
In the community.
The community, right. Very well-respected. If you guys ran Sundance, man.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, get a massage while I watch a movie.
Massage.
You like massage?
Yeah.
You like massage?
I like massage, yeah.
Get a cuticle push and a massage.
Sit there and watch my Newman documentary.
We'll clean your clothes.
We'll
separate the wives, the plaids.
Yeah,
you
should have seen me out. It looked like laundry day the other day at the Quail.
We know. We follow you on the Facebook.
We
love Chris.
He's really not that good.
Chris.
He's really more of just a placeholder until we, get another guy in here.
Boo!
Oh, no, you turned off the section of your family.
You suck, Adam!
All right, real quick, and then we'll bring our guests in. John, 22, Grand Rapids, Michigan. John?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man.
Hey, I just read Non-Taco Bell Material this summer. It was awesome.
Well, thank you. All the books are out. If you want to go check those out,
go ahead. Favorite of the books.
Was it?
The stories and the timeline thing, you structure these to a house. That was my favorite. A
couple of bestsellers of nothing.
I think so.
Those stories are awesome.
I have no idea what stories from what book or whatever, but I do.
It's mostly from your childhood and younger years.
Picking the house and then having that be the next chapter as you move to the next house was a good idea. I'll take credit for it. John, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm graduating school here in a year, college, and I did an internship this summer in a probation office. And I enjoyed the job. I like going to court and things like that, but I found that there's a lot of chicken shit tickets like you'll talk about, like a lot of super high fines for MIPs and things like that. And I'm wondering if I should pick something else to protest, the unfairness.
What's an MIP?
Minor in possession. I mean, I have no
idea. Wow, Brian.
Wow. I have no idea.
Yeah,
is that right, John?
Yeah, minor.
I feel like that stuff there's two things that would drive me nuts. It would drive me nuts on the Johnny Law side with all the chicken shit handed out, and then it would drive me nuts with the deadbeat dads who were putting cigarettes out on their kids and stuff. Like I couldn't even imagine. I think I would become depressed. Like I really do. I totally believe in have a job that's not a bummer, like where you're not working around people you don't like and in some environment that you, you know, this is, like I said, talking to Tom Arnold about working at the Hormel slaughtering house, you know what I mean? Like, it's bad times.
You'd be a very melancholy correction officer.
Yeah. So whatever you think, I mean, I can't tell you how to feel, but I just feel like, God, it would just be a bummer showing up to with those people every day.
If you're serious about like fighting the power, you know what I mean, with your career, I suggest maybe work there for a few years, get to know the system, get to know how it works, and then, you know, go the other way. Like, you know, prosecutor to defense attorney or something like that.
Yes, I agree. All right. One last one, then we'll bring our guest in. Brett, 37, Salt Lake City. Brett.
Ace, Gina, Bob, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you.
Hey.
Adam.
Yeah, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ace, I was just wondering, Sonny's getting all this cool exposure to racing and, you know, world-class auto. Wondering if he shows any interest in driving. Learning to drive.
He did announce that when he was in high school in 6 years, he was going to learn to drive today for the first time. Normally, he just wants to go stare at all the cars, but he's getting coached up. He's getting into it, and I think he's not a thrill seeker. He's very, very safe and weird, and he's a weird balance of, he's not a worry wart and he's not neurotic. He's just very, may I go to the bathroom? Is it okay if I have a soda? Like,
he's a human Honda Civic.
Yes.
Chris is done with that.
He's very cautious, thoughtful and cautious, but he would never, you know, the first time I got behind the wheel of my dad's car, my only plan was to see if I could get air. Like, I wanted to get air underneath that car. There's train tracks on Chandler in a bad part of North Hollywood. And I knew if I hit it hard, I could catch some air.
I know the train tracks you're talking about. That's awful.
And I just yelled at my buddy, hang on, Starsky.
Oh, my God.
And I just floored it with Dad's Rabbit. Oh. But the plan was to get air, you know. And everybody, my friends were like, I remember, like, my friends were insane. Like, I remember saying to my friend once, like, he said, can I borrow your truck to, like, move some stuff? And I would always give him the speech, which is, yes, but I do not have insurance, and I'm a carpenter, and that truck is my livelihood, and I don't have another form of transportation, but I also need the truck because I can't work without the truck. So I will lend you this truck, you know, for the night, and park it at your house, and whatever. But be very careful because I need this for my livelihood. And he said, no problem. And I lent it to him on like a Saturday afternoon. He was going to bring it back Sunday morning or whatever it was. And as I was driving home with somebody else after a party or something, like 2:30 in the morning, just driving, it was raining really hard, driving down Laurel Canyon, raining hard in the passenger seat, and I looked to my right, I'm driving by the Gelson's supermarket on Laurel Canyon and Riverside, and I see a truck doing donuts in the rain because it's a wide open parking lot. They didn't have the parking stops or anything. The guy's just getting it sideways and drifting and starting. I'm like, God damn, that guy's tearing up. And as I come up to it, it's my truck. And it's my buddy who I lent it to, and it's like, I gave you the entire speech about being safe and taking it easy, and it's my livelihood. And I thought that would have been like, all right, don't put the extra load of books in it. Let's make two trips. You know, we're moving. We don't want to bust the leash.
Keep it under 55.
It's Saturday night. You're just doing donuts in the middle of a parking lot because it's raining. Sonny is not that dude.
Okay.
I'm guessing Eddie Braun, our next guest, who is going to jump Snake River Canyon in Evel Knievel's Sky Cycle, is that dude.
More likely.
More likely. But I'll coach him up.
Yeah, put him behind the wheel, show him the basics, and see where he goes.
I will, and thank you, Brett. But, God, it's nice. By the way, the kid, we just sleep in the same bed, stay at the Airbnb. Just zero maintenance. Kid just falls asleep.
That's the best.
Doesn't snore. Lucky. Just boom. He doesn't complain.
Does he ask for stuff when he's at like events and stuff?
This kid goes through the entire Monterey Aquarium and then walks out right past the gift shop and doesn't even slow
down. That's my kid, too.
Does not even
Good
slow
kid, man.
Down.
That's the best.
All right. The best. Joe Coy, everybody. The Coy
Pond.
New episodes every week on iTunes. And, of course, J-O-K-O-Y, jokoy.com is where you go.
Can I plug my Instagram?
Yeah, plug your Instagram.
J-O-K-O-Y.
There you go. All right, Eddie Braun, he's going to jump. Now, remember, Evel Knievel, boy, man, what a story. He tried that thing in, like, 76.
I talked to the model. She said it was actually 82.
I love that documentary.
He was jumping that bad boy. He should have died doing it.
Oh, definitely.
His chute deployed when he's taking off.
And
his chute should have just blown out. But it took off upon deploy. It was deployed when he was on the pad. So if the chute just blew out like it should have when he was launching, he should have just been shot into a canyon with no parachute. Ugh. But it somehow stayed together and hung together enough to just like drop him into the water and he didn't drown. I was like, it's insane.
He still hit pretty hard, though.
Yeah, but it's insane how Evel Knievel did that.
That chute grabbed a hold of a little tree, because if it would have fell into the water, he would have been gone, too.
Oh, right. It's an insane story.
Yeah,
anyway, Eddie's going to do it, and he's not going to do it in a newer way. He's going old school. It's a steam rocket.
What?
Of course it is.
We'll get him in here. We'll do it next.
Ashman skipper in a boat full of booze. Tickets going fast. This is no time to snooze. So be our guest. This alcohol to abuse. Come on and get plastered on the ACS cruise. You'll see Adam. You'll see. You'll see Gina. You'll see Baldy, Dawson, Ray, and Gary on the ACS cruise. Mangri is included. Come on and get a buzz. But hit the buffet before my August does. So much fun you all want to go back. Maybe in a bikini you can see Gina's rack. So be our guest, we got plenty of booze. Go to Mexico on the ACS cruise.
The Adam Carolla Show Experience 3-day cruise. Tickets are going fast. Get yours now at adamcarolla.com.
I don't think Gina's rack's going to be there, is it?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. We're trying to work it out.
I'm doing my very best to be there.
I see we're aggressively courting that youth market with the song parody.
Sea cruise.
Oh, with the song parody.
I'll tell you, if you're there and you're around the pool and that rack's exposed.
Oh, yeah.
And a seagull drops it just right, something's going to come out of me. That's all I can say.
What if the cruise director doesn't let you on either, like, extreme side of the boat?
Wow.
I just don't. I don't want to take a turn for the sexual, but I'll just tell you that. I will promise you something will come out of me. It's got to be dropped just right.
That was Joe Coy doing some Q&As with the guys back in 2016.
And we'll be playing part two in the Corolla Classics feed tomorrow with Eddie Braun, stuntman, stunt racer extraordinaire. They talk about Evel Knievel. It's a great second half. You want to make sure to subscribe and check that out.
Yeah, and also make sure to check out Tommy John. All right, we talked about it last week, scrotal distancing. When you separate the guys from your thighs, Gio.
I'm more aware.
Well, it's time to do it with Tommy John's hammock pouch underwear. Because when you're wearing Tommy John's hammock pouch underwear, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. All right, and fanatics call Tommy John's hammock pouch one of life's greatest inventions. Okay, they have dozens of comfort innovations. Once you've tried Tommy John underwear, you're never going back. Right, Gio?
I'm wearing their lounge pants right now, and I have to every time I'm recording. I'll never not be able to. I am pot committed.
That's right. And look, a lot of us are, because there's over 13 million pairs sold. Balls across America love Tommy John underwear, and of course they got that best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free and guaranteed. And we got a great deal for you listeners right now if you want to try out Tommy John. Tell them about it.
And right now you'll get 20% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/classics. That's 20% off underwear and loungewear at TommyJohn.com/classics. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details.
All right, let's get going with our next clip. This one is from 2017, and Gene is going to read some of Adam's list of things to do before he dies.
straight from the book. This one actually rivals Dawson's variant. It's quite hilarious. I didn't remember this when I came across. I'm like, oh yeah, this was great. It's Adam Carolla Show 2195, featuring James Harris and Mauricio Umansky, not in this portion. Vinny Tortorich is in this portion with Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. We also get Adam making fun of the Peloton commercials versus the local proposition voting spots. Really funny clip. Check it out.
Gina
Grant. Good day
to you. And Brian, information is a good thing. Yeah.
Which?
And Vinny Tortorich here.
Hashtag me too.
Vinny Tortorich is going to coach everybody up.
He's so contemptuous of women who've been sexually abused.
I like that.
Hey, I'm a sexual. Listen, it's Hollywood.
Sure.
It happens to everyone.
We got That's you.
Right. You don't think it didn't happen to what? I'm ugly? I'm chopped
Far
liver?
Far from it. Put a picture up of the
Come
conch
on.
Shell.
You've seen it. You've seen the plate.
Buddy, I've seen it.
You were made to
off
do,
of it every
I
night.
Oh, yeah. I can't unsee it.
You were made to do some horrible things.
Again. It's all should be solved, but it is a very slippery slope when everything is assault, everything is abuse, everything's physical abuse, everything's sexual abuse, then we cannot sort it out at all. Every female comedian or female star who writes a book, they're going to get paid millions of dollars. They have to have the story where they were raped
in
the book. And then the rape story doesn't sound like any rape story you've heard of in the past. And all I'm saying is we have these degrees for everything in life. The reason we have to is because we need to know in life the difference between a fender bender and the car being totaled. There is a difference. If we call everything totaled, then it's going to be really hard for all of us and the insurance companies and everyone to gauge everything. I don't think it's insensitive to have murder one, capital murder, or murder with special circumstances, manslaughter. Yeah. I think we'd like to know the difference between shot in the head while jogging in the park and this guy clipped me when he was backing out of his driveway and I was jogging behind him and he was futzing with the windshield wipers. Like, we want that difference. And that's all I'm saying about assault. If everything is assault, everything is rape, then nobody knows.
Nothing is.
And it's unfair to whoever gets the jogging in the park rape because we don't know what is. But it's like saying seeing impaired or blind or whatever. Yes.
It's the same argument, which I agree with, of like, you know, three strikes laws. Like, you know, the guy who was arrested three times for marijuana, you know, distribution or intent to sell, when clearly it's not the same thing as having, you know, a serious narcotic or a dangerous weapon or whatever. But these all fall under the same, you know,
I'll
strikes.
Give you a better one. Also, wow. I will do better. Also, the three strikes thing for me, I'm mixed about because, like, his third strike was stealing a bag of Funyuns, a small size bag of Funyuns. Like, that asshole doesn't know any better at this point with two strikes, not to steal the 55-cent thing of Funyuns. Maybe we don't need him around, but better. A little more Mark Garagos than me. The having to register as a sexual predator, have to be registered as sexual. You could have raped a van full of disabled kids, and or you could be 19 and have consensual sex with your 17-year-old girlfriend who's more mature than you are.
You're on the same list.
And you could have been taking a leak on your front lawn with a couple beers in you and exposed, could be public exposure. No need to put everyone on the same list, because as someone who lives in a community, I want to know the difference between the guy who had consensual sex with his girlfriend of 4 years, even though they were separated by 18 months. I want to know the difference between that and the guy who's at the park luring kids into a van, the predator. Right.
Adam, you're into cars. My younger brother has been a car broker his entire life.
And a pedophile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
One and the same.
And he tells me, he goes, like, Carfax, it doesn't matter if the car had a scrape, if the insurance company knew about it, and it just had like a ding on the door that you claimed on insurance, that and the total is the same thing. Mm-hmm. Carfax doesn't tell you which one it was.
Oh, they got to straighten that out.
They just say...
But wait a minute. When a car's totaled, like when the insurance company proclaims it's totaled...
Well, you could do a retitle. That's a whole different thing.
That's went into a swamp upside down versus an accident. I mean, there's got to be a difference between totaled and an accident.
I will find out for the next show.
Gary's going to find out.
He said, hey, he goes, if it's a scrape, we don't know if it was...
If it was in a bad accident or a scrape, but not totaled. If it was totaled,
you have to retitle it.
That's
yeah, that's a retitled car.
Wait a minute. You know when you're making an argument and then someone starts making your argument mid-argument back at you?
I just did. Sorry.
I think you just did that. All right, but I agree. We'd all like to know the difference between a little dent in the fender and the front end taken out, and it was repaired, not totally.
When it comes to cars and women.
All right. You know, I have my list of things I'd like to do.
Yes.
You know, before
some people have
before
a bucket list, like, you know, visit Europe.
Before I die.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you have it.
I have it right here.
You have that list.
You keep her list at all times?
Yes.
You never know what Adam's going to ask
Gina
for his bucket list.
Wears a quarterback wristband, and in embossed in it is my list. So yep. I will read this
it's like
list.
A Keno card is he's constantly striking things off of it.
I'm going to add two to the list.
Ooh.
Two to the list.
Should we refresh some things on the list?
Oh, for sure. We're doing the list first.
Okay.
List first, Gina Grad, and then I will tell you, I sat around last night, I thought I'm going to add two.
Life goals. Bucket
to this list.
Yeah. It's an ample list, so strap in. Here we go. Over the years, I've prepared a list of things I want to do before I die. Have my hands registered as weapons, get kicked out of a casino for winning, jump into a body of water with a knife between my teeth.
Make sure the knife's facing the right way.
Of course. Have a cape removed on stage. Have a sports jersey pulled over a nice suit.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It's either bought the team or he went number one in the draft or somebody pulls their jersey with number one. Your number's not number one, but it's number one on the jersey.
Be killed by the person I told to kill me if I started to become a zombie. Wipe down a gun. Silently communicate / point to my watch underwater.
My watch, underwater.
You're doing the dive, but you're trying to communicate the word. The clock's ticking.
Punch out my undercover partner who's about to say something he shouldn't and blow our cover. Play bass in an all-black band, be the only white guy, and whisper something on stage to the conga player and then laugh.
That's going to be a tough one because bass is the funkiest instrument.
I know, that's
band.
Why. That's man, why it's a bass player. Like, this guy's got to be, he's got to have the moves, man. He's got to have a lot of soul if he's playing bass in an all-black band.
Put my
and crack up the conga guy who's, you know, his relationship with English is a little tough, so it's hard to get the jokes across.
You know who might be closer to that goal than you? Jeff Cesario.
He played the conga.
Yeah.
That's right.
Put my hand over the mouth of a beautiful woman to stop her from screaming and alerting the bad guys. Get shot at and brush it off saying, I ain't got time to bleed. Be able to say someone attempted suicide over me. She threw herself on train tracks. Catch a punch and twist the guy's hand until he goes down to his knees.
That's strong. Literally.
Have a celebrity shorten my name in an interview. Bobby De Niro says working with Ace was great. Be embroiled in a lawsuit that leads to a heroic story. I broke the leg of a gangbanger robbing a liquor store, and now he's suing me.
Yep.
It's good.
Stop a crime by throwing something. A guy steals a purse and starts running. I throw a can of corn football style and knock him out. Track someone. I dismount my horse, then do that low squat.
You just blaze past, track someone?
No, this is part of it.
Oh, I thought it was standalone.
Where I pick up a clump of dirt, let it sift through my fingers. That's how he's tracking
me. I'm thinking when I'm tracking somebody.
Hawk a championship belt or Super Bowl ring at a pawn shop when I hit rock bottom. Shout, release the hounds. Be lost in the Utah desert with a hot chick, then come across an old Indian guy and speak his language.
Oh, yeah. When she sees me speak Navajo, she's so impressed.
It's on. Pull a fake mustache off someone and shout, aha! Have a hot towel on my face at a barbershop with a cigar sticking out.
Ooh. That's doable.
That's doable.
You can cross that one off today.
Dislocate my shoulder to get out of a straitjacket. Snap Larry King's suspenders and turn him into a pile of ashes.
Good, time's running out on that one.
Shout, not on my watch. Direct a movie called Awesome so that entertainment shows will have to refer to me as Awesome Director Adam Carolla. Yeah. Then follow it up with a sequel, Hung Like a Rhino. Drive a car off a pier into a garbage barge.
I gotta make the leap. I gotta add
this. For some reason, it was getting lift off the end of the pier.
I have a super squeamish passenger who's like, no! And as I floor it, hang on, I yell.
Yep.
We get air.
That's good.
Onto the garbage barge.
Be stripped of a crown.
Yeah.
Tell my team to synchronize watches.
Mm-hmm.
Dry shave with a machete.
Ooh.
Pull down a surgical mask and say, there's nothing I could do. Or beat someone on the chest and shout, live, damn you! Box a kangaroo. Demand unmarked bills.
We got a live show going in Australia. You could pull off the box kangaroo.
My grandfather did that. Yeah. He lost. Drape a suit jacket over handcuffs in front of you like John Gotti.
Oh, yeah.
Some
obscure that you're being
So nobody knows.
Perp walk.
fend off a Kodiak bear with a torch.
The idea of the draping thing, so you can have a dignified walk surrounded by cops and lawyers.
Yeah, sure.
Pop the locks off an attaché case full of money and slide it across a table.
Good.
Be tied to a chair with a hot chick. Have to choose between cutting a red wire and a blue wire. And finally, fight someone on top of a moving train.
Yeah.
All good.
Ambitious.
All good.
It's a good thing you waited to age 50-something to start the life.
Do you just live in a movie?
Some of these are from certain things I may have seen
inspired by.
After you hear, I have one more. After you give these two, I think I have one for you.
Okay. All right. I would like two things. I'd like to do like a sports, be an analyst, like a sports analyst, and be sitting at the desk with the three or four other former jocks.
The studio show.
Yeah, the studio show.
Not a game play-by-play, but like studio show.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and they're all wearing their finely tailored suits, and have somebody, not to me, just at home, comment that my upper arm was taking up the entire sleeve of my jacket.
Oh, wow.
You ever see those guys?
Yeah. Yep.
When you see guys
the
like...
The sleeves aren't tapered.
Yeah, they
feel. They literally... The guy's upper arms. When you see those NFL wrap-up shows, and you see... Ray Lewis? Oh, Ray Lewis is one of them. The other guy...
Mark Schlereth?
Yeah, yep.
These are types
all,
of guys.
These are all perfect.
Strahan.
One is the outside backer from SC, the perennial all-star.
Oh, Willie McGinnis.
The top of their suit jacket is taut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they don't make jackets with big enough gun spaces for these. And they're sitting there at the table, and they're not flexing or anything. Their hands are just sitting at the table. And it's like literally taut the upper part of their things. Like, how big do your arms have to be to take a suit?
To be stretched into its max
fill
capacity.
Out a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like they took it in or anything.
No, no.
It's just taking up the whole space.
Yeah, it's made for a normal size man's man's normal size arms. But there's Willie McGinnis, outside linebacker for 12 years in the NFL.
All right, second, I want to be.
You want to be that?
I want that to happen. Okay. Now I don't. No one comments to me. Someone is at home commenting.
Look at that guy. How he fills that out. Yeah.
Bizarro. Right. Adam Carolla is commenting on Adam Carolla's arms.
No, I'm not commenting.
No, what I'm saying, the version of you, who's watching you.
No.
Somebody's watching.
Possibly
you.
A chick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Be better if it was.
It'd be nice. Speaking of chicks, I'd like to be watching one of those commercials for the Peloton bicycles, the ones with the stationary bikes, have the hottest chicks in the world who's sweating profusely and just going nuts on top of this bicycle, and then have somebody comment on one of those models, and I look up casually and go, oh, I banged her.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay, now also, you tell me, you know I have the phoniest chick in the world. I'm piggybacking on this. The phoniest chick in the world is the pretty hot chick. She's 42, but she's wearing the glasses and her hair's not blown out or anything, you know, but you can tell she's got the bones. Okay. You know, she's good looking. So who's faker? The chick who's sitting at the breakfast table when the props start coming around and she's
leaping through papers.
She's got done making a Denver omelet for a man, and he comes walking in the kitchen and he says, yeah, Prop 82, I'm going to vote for that. And she went, but have you read the fine print?
I've read
and then she goes
things.
To explain to him, the hot chick who just got done making the omelet goes into great detail about all the props, and she's read every single letter of every code and everything and has memorized it, and is now going to coach her husband up on Prop 182.
Sure, it sounds like a good idea.
Right, and then goes into it. That chick, who's faker?
I don't know if we're going to get much better than that.
That chick, or again, the Peloton or whatever it is. You got to show me the cycling. You got to show me that Peloton cycling.
Yeah, they're always looking at
the
watch
hottest,
at the end doing
the
that.
Hottest chicks in the world. They live at the goddamn Guggenheim.
Yeah.
Like the inside of the house is just
the modern art master.
Frank Lloyd Wright invents this goddamn place. And at some point,
We're seeing the wrong one, but this one's probably still good. Yeah, go ahead and show it.
Good.
Piping hot chick sitting in the middle of a modern art museum. She's going nuts on this bike, and it's got to be 6 a.m. because at some point, the kids and the dad are holding a cup of coffee, and she's going to spring off that bike and make everyone flapjacks and an omelet. But they just take the best looking people in the world, put them on the bike, have them going. Now, I don't know why she has kids. She's 26. I don't know why she has a 9-year-old. And I don't know where the husband is. And the house is amazing. And then at some point, the guy comes downstairs and she gives him a, yay, that a boy. And who is this chick?
The guy stumbles out. Yeah, what's all the noise?
And then her whole move is like, oh, I gotta hurry and make breakfast for everyone in the family because I don't want to get into trouble.
Yeah. I feel like she might have some sort of disorder.
Yeah.
You know,
she's addicted to working out.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, who's the 26-year-old with the 9-year-old who does nothing but make breakfast and living in the Guggenheim? I show me the other one where it has all the hot chicks, mm-hmm. and she's like, they're down there just sawing away every morning. Yo, here's a more realistic depiction of the hot chick. Okay. The dude gets up at 9:45, and she goes, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "I've got to brush my teeth." Do it in the other room.
Do you have to do it so loudly?
I got to go to work. Well, brush in the other room. And then she goes, "Ugh!" And then her head goes back to the pillow.
What are you doing? You're tying your shoes.
These are not the commercials I'm seeing. Sorry. The next one's a bevy of hot models on those bikes, just looking piping hot looking and good. Sweating away. All right. Faker, this is probably it. Faker person. The chick who's up at 5:45 pedaling her ass off for an hour and a half and then making breakfast for the family inside the Guggenheim. Or the aforementioned, I read every stitch of Prop 182 and let me coach you up, husband. On what's going on.
Gina, you should have some insight into this.
Yeah, I think, and Vinny probably has some insight into these fitness freaks. I think it's much less likely that after the Denver omelet, the woman sits down and does a PowerPoint presentation on Prop 182.
Yeah,
I think these chicks, if they want to stay in the Guggenheim with this life, they better get up at 5 and start doing this.
That's a good point.
And that's what they do. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm
so there's more of hot model. But remember, hot model and mother of two? Like, she's got,
hey, man.
She's got a couple of young kids there.
They have to pop out a couple of kids. That's how they keep the checks coming after the 10-year, you know.
That's Vinny.
All right.
I can write a whole book on these chicks.
All right. So you're saying chicks, they don't read the props, but they do work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they do
all
have
hours.
The kids. And is that, again, is she popping off the bike and making scrambled eggs?
Yeah, but after that, everyone goes to school and then husband goes to work. And where does she go? She meets her friends for lunch. What's her vibe?
This is a very small sample to be speaking from. But Christy goes to Bar Method like first thing in the morning. She loves it. Like she's like, oh, get up and go to Bar Method.
She did that when she was 9 months pregnant.
It's cardio bar.
It's cardio bar. It's
dance workout training.
Yeah.
She doesn't dance, but it's like with the bar and with the whole, you know, stretching and all that stuff.
They took the pole from 10 years ago and made it horizontal.
Yeah. Oh, she goes at 6 in the morning, comes home. I don't think she does anything but she goes straight to the pan and starts making eggs.
No. So, I had this horrible thought when I was thinking about this. I said, I bet Christy does some of this.
She does a version of this.
She's got now a job, I'm angry.
Right? Christy was.
That's why she was 6 in the morning.
These chicks are handing them off to, you know, Consuelo, and they're going off to Starbucks.
It crossed my mind that Christy may engage in this sort of behavior,
Brian
this sort of atypical behavior.
With his perfect life.
Never a discussion of props.
Give me, I knew it, 6 a.m.
Sorry.
And then off to work. And then makes the eggs and off to work?
Right away.
Eggs for who?
For everyone. Well,
she's just, what? She's just taking people's appointments at a nail salon?
Huh? Meaning what?
What is that? Is that what she does for a living?
She's being facetious, and then you're supposed to say no. She has a very good job.
Yeah, she has a very good job.
Yeah, she has a ton of money. All right,
very successful.
Let's go, Vinny.
She's a leader in her field.
What
you wanted to add to my list?
I'm adding to Adam's list for Adam. You before you die, you want to be running away from something with a woman, and you have to grab the woman's hand to help her along because obviously two people can run faster
when you hold hands.
Grabs the hand.
Yeah, there is that move. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, you always wonder about that in a movie. Like, he's always two steps ahead of her, but he's grabbed her hand anyway, but I'm unclear how that's working.
So it's really kind of slowing him down. And slowing the whole group down.
if it did work, they'd probably do a little of it when they did the relay race. Instead of just handing the baton, the other guy would grab the other guy's hand and drag him. I mean, if you could pick up a little speed.
Three-legged race.
And that was us once again revisiting Adam's list of things to do before he dies.
Really, Gina's reactions were great.
Yeah, he really needs to knock some more of those items off his list.
Yeah, he had a couple in this one that aren't official additions, so there are a couple of times when they've done this, even including the Dawson one, I think, where there's a couple extras that are thrown out that yet haven't been added to the official list. So besides the action movie tropes, there are a few other variants we could probably add.
I love it, and it doesn't get old for me, even the action movie tropes.
Me either.
Yeah. All right, we have one more clip, but before we get going to it, I want to remind everybody, if you want to request a clip, it's really easy. You can just email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, or find us on Instagram at Giovanni Giorgio or at Chris Loxamana 1. Let us know what you want to hear on Carolla Classics. This final clip of the day, we're going to go back to 2017 again and listen to Kevin Sorbo, Hercules himself.
Kevin making a second appearance along with his wife making her debut, and Gina has 9 news stories in this portion. We play them all. Bald Brian recently watched God's Not Dead, Kevin's movie he was promoting the first time he was visiting, and in light of that, it reminded me of his appearance and the fun back and forth and kind of bitchy comments Brian had about Kevin at a few points, which were really funny. Adam Carolla Show 2186, check it out.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Glendale, Arizona. A 44-year-old man faces charges of disorderly conduct and indecent exposure after he allegedly urinated on a family sitting in front of him at a Metallica concert! Definitely not a Jew!
Kevin Sorbo and his beautiful wife, Sam Sorbo, in studio.
She likes that feature.
Yeah, it's a good feature. Thanks to good people from Alcoa for sponsoring it all these years.
Long-running
sponsor. Let There Be Light, name of the movie, in theaters this Friday, October 27th. 300 theater release. Congratulations. That's a big release. I mean, not big
for an
Guardians
indie,
of the Galaxy,
okay.
But if for an
indie with no money,
we didn't have $250 million budget. So
we didn't have the budget that you had to put together this tremendous man cave that I'm sitting in right now. This place is amazing.
Well, you know, I got to say, like, as a guy who's made a few independent movies, just having a release these days is a good,
that's
a good thing. That's not straight to DVD or straight to VOD. And then also they'll do, like, the way they do it is they'll do two in Chicago, 3 in LA, and 4 in New York, and see if it trickles out to the rest of the country. So 300's nice. How do you arrive at 300, and who's making the decisions?
Want to take that one?
It's apparently it's all on my shoulders. No, I put together a team to guide the distribution of the film, and it was based on the amount of money that we had, and it was a matter of timing. So we had some extra funds that came in, so we bumped it up from 250. But we're comfortable at three. We're actually over 300 now. And we're hoping that it grows after that because the movie's really good. If you go on the website, lettherebelightmovie.com, and you watch some of the testimonial videos, we've got so many people who are just gushing about how moving and how uplifting the story is and the movie is. And so hopefully it'll grow from the three something that we
and
have.
And you know
now.
How this is. I mean, it really comes down to word of mouth. I did a movie 3 years ago. It's called God's Not Dead. It's a little $2 million movie. It made over $70 million U.S. alone. And it started on 700 screens. And by the third week, it was up to 2,000 screens. That doesn't happen. I mean, it just kept going up. It was pretty amazing.
Well, you know, there's this thing that I constantly think about, which is my sort of, it's my sort of restaurant theory, which is like if there's a street and it's covered with Mexican food joints, then open a Thai food joint and stop trying to compete with all the other Mexican food joints. And Kirk Cameron's been smart this way. Tyler Perry made a couple shekels this way, which is like going, not everything's got to be the darling of Sundance. We can find this group of people that is being ignored.
Sure.
I know you're religious. I know you're conservative. Mm-hmm. They don't, those people don't really have product. Hollywood is not cranking out product for them.
They forget about the flyover states, right?
Right. And so, you and Kirk Cameron's done the same thing where they go, hey, let's create product for these people who are feeling underserved, and that's where the word of mouth takes place.
I've done a number of, like, either you call them faith-based or family-friendly type of movies, and I used to get stopped all the time because of Hercules or Andromeda. It was a 12-year run between those two shows. Now I go through airports, 80% of the people coming up, now please make more family-friendly movies as I'm going through Dallas, Atlanta, or whatever. And it's amazing the difference that has happened over the last 4 or 5 years in terms of people saying what they want me to keep doing. So it's out there. It's just a matter of getting the word out there. We're not in every movie theater showing trailers. We're not on TV. So it comes down
to
people.
We're in the man cave.
But it's just weird. It's so weird if you live in LA because you're in this business, you don't think it's like,
careful.
What I'm saying is you don't think other opinions exist. Right. You're so doused it's not even a vacuum. It's like, it's a vat. A vat.
It's a vat. You're
swimming in a vat of like your own opinions. And so when somebody, like, it's an echo chamber. Like my sister, I remember a million years ago, she worked at a salon in Silver Lake, on Hyperion Boulevard. So it's like the center of the gay universe, where all the thousand points of gay lights converge, was Hyperion at this place. It was a salon. So I said to my sister once, she was like 25, I said, what percentage of the population you think is gay? And she went, 90%. Now, the Corollas didn't excel at math. In her world, it was 100%.
If you watch TV today, you would think that, too.
So you go, oh, we don't want to make a movie for these guys. Everyone's making those movies. But then you step outside the bubble. And again, I think it's why everyone here and on each coast, when Trump got elected, everyone's like, oh, my God, what? No.
Yeah, no one here knows a conservative.
No, anybody would vote for that guy. So smart to make product for those people. But is this something, and I know it's slightly newer for you, but were you always a religious person?
Well, I've always been a Christian. I'm just probably not the best one in the world because I don't force my beliefs on people. I have atheist friends. I have agnostic friends. I don't get angry about disagreeing. I just get, to me, it blows my mind, these atheists I've seen TV, they're so angry about something they don't believe in. They're offended by a nativity sign or a cross. I'm going, well, look, I don't believe in broccoli, all right? Knock yourself out. It's weird to me. I don't get it. Well, I mean, to me, I'm a live and let live guy. If someone wants to ask me a question, I'll go for it. But I meet people I don't believe in, and I don't get upset. I just go, hey, look, if I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. But if I'm right, see you later. So it is what it is.
I'm an atheist, and part of my thing was I never wanted to burn a calorie being an atheist, like the idea of going to a meeting or protesting in front of the courthouse because they have the Ten Commandments posted or something. I thought, this is a huge waste of
my
atheist time.
I'm a lazy atheist.
I agree. Yes.
And also, I tend to feel like, whether it's you or Dennis Prager or whatever side you're on religiously, I tend to like those people more. I tend to feel like I'd like my kids to hang out with their kids more. I like where their head's at. I like what they're practicing, hopefully what they're preaching. I tend, as an atheist, to be more attracted to those people because of their values.
I might be going way out on a limb here, but I think the Ferguson and all the deaths in Chicago and Baltimore riots, I'm guessing most of them probably weren't religious. It's just a guess. It's just a hypothetical situation.
I like that they're a bunch of, I live in a town that has a bunch of churches. I drive past them every day, drunk.
Never seen the answer.
Suckers. But I like
for
it.
For shame.
I like that the community's into it.
Tithings right here.
And I kind of grew up with that weird taste in my mouth, too, because when you atheist, again, it becomes a religion, and it just becomes an anti-religion religion. And again, not believing is fine, but then turning that into something, it kind of reminds me of like when PETA would say, like, hey, man, we shouldn't slaughter these whales for their oil. And I'd go, like, I'm down with that. And then they'd throw paint on celebrities wearing faux fur. And I thought, now you're you're jumping the shark a little. And I kind of felt the same way. And as someone who says he's an atheist, they try to recruit me. Like, we're doing a rally. Like, we want you to get in on this. And I don't like that at all.
We don't want to invite you to church, but we want to invite you to the movie theater. It's easier to do that for people. Oh, yeah.
Let There Be Light. Sam, am I right that you wrote this?
I co-wrote it, yeah.
You co-wrote it.
Yeah.
And how does one begin this journey? Like, do you sit down and go, I want to write a movie, or do you have an idea
I had the idea, and I thought, okay, this would be a movie that I want to see. Hollywood turns out a lot of stuff, and most of it I'm not interested in watching. And I got fed up with that. And in fact, I developed a faith-based television series the year before, and got that as far as NBC and Sony, who bought it, and then they decided not to produce it. And so I was sort of...
Because it had God in it.
Maybe. So I was just sort of pitching around, and I thought of this idea for the movie, and I thought, okay, the one thing that I learned is I can't do it myself because I need somebody with some Hollywood clout to be a co-writer on the script. So I called Dan Gordon, who's an Oscar-nominated writer, Hurricane with Denzel Washington, and Wyatt Earp with Kevin Costner. And I said, hey, Dan, I have an idea for a movie. Would you consider writing it with me? To which he, of course, said no, because he's a really well-known Hollywood screenwriter. And then he said, let's have lunch. And when I told him the idea, he was in from the beginning. And then about 2 weeks later, Sean Hannity called Kevin and said, hey, I want to do a faith-based movie with you. Do you have anything? And so the three of us flew to New York and pitched Sean for about half an hour.
And he wrote a check.
And he wrote a check. So
we started filming 4 months later
in
Alabama.
This is not the typical, I have to say. This is not how this is done. I can't explain it. It's pretty cool that I'm sitting here less than 2 years later with a movie.
What was give us the premise in a nutshell?
The premise is the world's greatest atheist who goes around proselytizing people. He's an active atheist. He's not a lazy atheist.
He's like a Dawkins. He's like a Hitchens. He's world renowned guy.
And he has a near death experience, and he sees something that just doesn't jive with his worldview. So he has to make sense of that, and he basically spirals out of control. It's a story about. It's a love story. It's a story about fatherhood. It's a story about hope and forgiveness. And it's got a very uplifting message, which is the kind of entertainment that I look for, is something that where I leave the theater going, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a better person tomorrow. Or, you know, I feel better about myself or something. I've identified and I see hope. And that's what gets me to go to the theater. So I'm hoping that's what gets other people to go to the theater.
There's a lot of storylines. There's a lot of characters I think people will identify with. I mean, look, I love Avengers too with all the visual effects, but a lot of times you walk out of there, about 47 buildings just fell down and about 800,000 people died, but we don't talk about that. But to me, it's like these are characters that people will be able to relate to, and I think they'll enjoy it.
So again, in theaters this Friday, the 27th, 300 theaters. And what you should do is go to the website, lettherebelightmovie.com. And if you go there, then you can find out where the theater is, I'm guessing.
That's yes. correct.
That's near you.
Correctly discerned.
I don't do a lot of releases myself. I'm a VOD man, but I do understand how the
game
is
played.
But for
us, you'll go to the theater.
For me, I'll pack up those damn kids and take them to the theater. I agree with you. I like when something's a little uplifting, makes you think a little bit and feel a little bit better. I think there's this part where something happened with art where you had to struggle for your art, or you had to be this tortured, miserable soul.
Look what's coming out of Hollywood
movies.
Now.
Yeah, I don't like bummer movies. There's many movies I haven't seen just because I've realized, like, I think I'm going to be in a bad mood when I leave that movie. And it's probably, in a weird way, why I like a movie like Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks so much, because it is an uplifting movie. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of positive, talks about, really, what you need is courage. The universe wants you to have courage and strength. And I love the sort of, spoiler alert, but at the end where he breaks loose and runs to the next tram, and they're all watching going, well, there's courage.
Good enough for you.
Good enough. Yeah. Like, it just spoke to me. All right. Let's do a little news, Gina Grad.
All right.
And you guys hang out and say whatever you want.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drug meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the speculation is over. Justin Timberlake is the Super Bowl halftime performer. He confirmed it with a tweet on Sunday that included a video from his buddy Jimmy Fallon, and it said halftime and halftime. It will be Timberlake's first time on stage at the big game since he was an accomplice in the infamous Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction, also known as Nipplegate, in 2004. Super Bowl 52 takes place on February 4th at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis.
Thank you, my hometown.
Oh, yeah, you're a Minneapolis guy.
I was just home last week. I saw the Vikings beat up on the Packers.
Oh. Are you going to the Super Bowl?
I'm hoping to go to the Super Bowl. I hope they get there. They need a better offense, but their defense is very, very good.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers out of commission.
Yeah. Shouldn't have wrapped him up. That was my argument. Yeah.
No, I know.
The hit was illegal, but I don't like the wrap up. All right. Yeah, I was just in Minneapolis, too. Wasn't
place to be. Yeah, you were just there.
I love that town.
Yeah, it's
a good city.
Place.
It is.
Well, a guy in Canada, we talk a lot about the lottery. Yes.
You know what Timberlake should do if he has any kind of sense of humor at all? Is like when he's talking to the Super Bowl people and they're doing like the wardrobe stuff, he's just wearing super tight dolphin shorts pulled up a little too high with no underwear. And he's like, yeah. So I'm going to come out.
So I'm stage ready.
High boots, kicking up to the sky.
That's right.
And he's going to do it, and his sack's going to like fall out, and he's going to go, don't worry, that's not going to happen during
the
actual
thing.
All right,
he might. He's actually he's a funny dude. Well, a guy in Canada got really lucky when he won $6 million in the lottery and then tried to press his luck by hiding it from his wife and then making a run for it. So just 4 days after Maurice Thibault secretly won the $6 million, he packed his bags, took his passport, and left home. The couple had at that point been living together for over 2 years. So in court, Maurice's wife, Denise, said she and Maurice together dreamt about winning the lottery, planning on buying muscle cars and estates in the country.
Oh,
Denise also remembered that Maurice did about 15 loads of laundry of all his clothes, everything he owned, the night before he took off, as though he were preparing to leave.
Is
her.
My ski mask clean?
He won in secret and he peaced out.
Yeah, she couldn't see that coming.
Yep.
So how does it work in Canadian law? She get half, like,
well,
California, she gets half.
Yeah,
right?
they're together.
Yeah, the marriage is an asset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He gets to keep the 15 loads of laundry.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if they screw you over there like they do here, where they go, what's the lottery up? The Powerball's up to $100 million. Somebody won. And then they go, all right, would you like $47 million?
Yeah.
Or would you like $10,000 a day for 121 years?
Why wouldn't they do that?
They go, like, well, how about the $100 million? Like, whatever's up on the tote board, whatever you guys are talking about in the commercial, I'll take that.
How did he think that he could get away with this? He's literally married to her legally.
Yeah.
He's, that's just ridiculous. And then he, and how's he going to collect the money and not have her, like, just
he's real dumb.
Hey, honey, I need you to fill some paperwork for me.
Just sign here.
Yeah.
It's like Radar and MASH, right?
Yeah, the great thing about dumb people, when dumb people run into cash, they can never hide their it. Because, I picked up a Bentley.
I always wear these gold leaf sweatpants.
You're a Mason. Well, I saved my money. Like, they always screw up, and the feds always catch them. Everyone always catches them because they can't not get a car and put fur on the outside of it.
I got to say, I'm sorry to admit this, but I kind of hope that she sues in court and gets the whole lot of it.
Duh.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You frauds.
Right?
Right?
And that they don't waste it all on lawyers.
The irony is it's all going to be gone.
It will all be gone.
Yeah. Well, the Bleacher Report says that Boston Celtics point guard Kyrie Irving has reportedly been fined $25,000 for yelling profanity at a Philadelphia fan who asked him, where's LeBron? After the Celtics defeated the 76ers on Friday night.
He gets that much per dribble. That's nothing.
So it's a little hard.
Let's all guess what his answer is.
It's lovely. It's a little hard to hear, but here's the audio.
Kyrie said that?
Suck his dick. That's what he said.
Wow.
Wow. He acknowledged the outburst, but when he asked if he regrets it, he simply replied, hell no. 25,000 is nothing.
Hey, man, show her the juggies.
Suck their titties. I mean.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you. I love the show, by the way.
It's like.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if somebody heckles you, you should be able to heckle them back.
Sure.
Why not?
Why does he have to take the high road?
Yeah, I agree. And they're not politicians. They're athletes. Yeah. Who cares? And it just makes for more fun.
It's always hide behind. Not hide behind. But the excuse is always, hey, he paid for his ticket. He paid for his ticket. Say whatever he wants. Like, oh, you should be able to. If you say something, it might be said back
he
to
you.
He
was asked a question, and he gave an answer. I don't see a problem
here. You were that rude to ignore the guy.
Exactly.
We're in a homosexual relationship.
That's what happened.
And mathematically, a lot of the guys in the NBA can be down on the court and still get a blowjob, even if you have a cheap seat.
You're right.
Even if you're up in the balcony. Man,
yeah. Yeah. I can't believe you went there.
Yeah.
I'm sitting right here.
You're right.
He's not used to having a lady in the room.
Oh,
that's the
Carla.
Well, President Trump might have his first challenger in the 2020 presidential election. Mark Cuban, the billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks and star of TV's Shark Tank, says he's seriously considering running for president in 2020 and would challenge Trump for the Republican nomination. In an interview with Fox News, Cuban said he's been thinking about it for a while and hasn't completely made up his mind. He says, I wouldn't run unless I have solutions. If I have solutions, then I have something to offer. If I don't, you won't see me anywhere near being a politician. He describes himself as socially centrist but fiscally conservative.
That
shocks me. I know Mark, and I also thought he was sort of a liberal, and we've had interesting conversations. That's interesting to me.
Well, I love him because when my movie came out, The Hammer, I think his company...
Magnolia.
Magnolia, yeah.
Yeah, they offered me a dollar.
There you go.
That's cool.
They didn't give you a very good valuation on Shark Tank.
He's a sharp businessman.
Yeah.
Is there no more Weinstein stories in there? Is that all dead now or something? I've got my sexual harassment story.
Really?
Yes, you want to hear it?
Yeah. Yeah.
More than anything.
Johnny Versace.
Oh, really?
I was living in Italy at the time, and I was dating way before her name is Sam, so I say it's BS. It's before Sam.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was doing some commercial work and some fashion work, and I met Versace. He wanted to meet me because of my height at 6'3". He wanted me doing his fashion shows with these 6-foot tall women. And so I get invited. I'm in my apartment in Milan. I get a call, and I go, hello. He goes, ciao, Kevin. It's Johnny. I go, Johnny. He goes, Versace. Says, the car waiting for you. Come to my party. So I go to this party. I meet Sophia Loren, Pavarotti. I meet Richard Gere. I mean, everybody. It's unbelievable. Next night, he calls me again. Another party, like 15 people at dinner. Next night, calls me again. 4 people. Next night, calls me again. Just Johnny and myself.
Just you and Johnny.
So we're sitting there at this little restaurant in San Babila.
I didn't made the final four.
I'm in the championship game.
Yeah.
We're sitting there talking, and I knew he was talking about his campaign. I'm going to put you in GQ. You'll be famous everywhere, all my commercials. And all of a sudden, his hand goes on my leg, and I said, dude, you know I'm straight. He goes, this is why I like you. You're not a girly man. You are a men's man. And I said, well, there's just no way it's going to happen. And he said, oh, in life, you must fuck everything, he said. You must do the dog and the cat and the boy and the girl. You must do everything. I said, Johnny, look, you're on this road. I'm on this road my whole life. He says, I build a bridge.
Wow.
Oh, it really brings people together.
The bridge was never built. And I never got the campaign. But
And it's weird because Trump said he's going to build a wall.
That's right.
But you built a wall around your junk and he's trying to build a bridge.
I got 4 free dinners. It was all right.
Wow.
Sad that just 11 years later, Kevin had to hire that gay guy to kill him on the steps of the show.
Yeah, that was extreme.
Obviously, he doesn't speak about that on the air.
Did not just go there.
So sad. So sad. No, you paid the gay drifter. You didn't do it yourself, obviously. You don't get your hands dirty. Kevin Sorbo over there. All right, let's do another.
All right, well, speaking of fashion, Tommy Hilfiger just launched Tommy Adaptive. It's a clothing line specifically designed for disabled consumers. The clothing features things like adjustable seams, Velcro, magnetic closures, and openings that make it easier for adults with mobility issues to dress themselves or for caretakers to assist them. None of this has been at the expense of fashion, of course, with everything from jean skirts to dresses to chinos, bomber jackets, everything. The look, it looks almost identical to the, quote, regular sportswear offerings, and it is Tommy Adaptive.
I had this thought the other day. Anything more uncomfortable and sort of less practical than a jean jacket? Like, jean jackets have been around for a million years. No, everyone loves them, but they're weird. They're not.
I don't like them.
Not good,
no,
right?
Not comfortable, not flattering.
Well,
boxy silhouette.
Here's a thought. Will I ever wear a jean jacket ever again?
The answer
may be no. Ever since I got that one that Kimmel gave me that you can smash up and put it inside a sandwich bag and then puffs out, I wore it in your own Minneapolis.
Oh, did you?
We're walking down to Kramerchek's over there, the Polish joint, to have some pierogies and
can be a little chilly in the winter time.
Be a little chilly, yeah.
Wait, it's a collapsible denim jacket?
No, it's a jacket. I mean, not the one. I was looking at Dr. Drew,
from the Leno collection,
and he was wearing I will never wear another denim jacket since Kimmel got me his jacket.
Oh, okay.
A denim jacket. Right. Sorry, since his jacket, which is the
Chrissy has one of these
super lightweight down ones that mash into nothing. You shake them out,
and it's like a garbage bag. That
yes, doesn't feel like it's anything.
It's a garbage bag.
It's awesome.
Fashionable.
Also, I feel about fashion. All we do is go back and revisit times that we made fun of 35 years earlier. Yeah. So what are we really doing? And is anyone designing anything that, like, I do men's suits. Men's suits are the same.
Yeah.
They've always been the same.
Yeah.
And we can all realize that whatever people were wearing in Italy in 1922 is about the height, and they would just get one of those.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It goes around. What goes around comes back around, but they still have to make money, and so they are going to try to convince you that the suits today are completely different than the suits 5 years ago, and that's why you need many more of them. And it's the same with everything in fashion. That they have to.
Well, it's like an iPhone. Like, you have to have pleats or it's horrible. Oh, God, get rid of those pleats! Like, they just decide every couple years.
Right.
I don't like that they come with an extra button. Because I've never in my life used the extra button that comes with the suit, the jacket button. I've never used it, but I cannot throw it away.
I have a whole box.
You'd be an insane person to throw it away, but it's never been used. And it's just floating around my desk drawer. The other one they do is I'll wear a jacket for years and then realize they stitched a pocket closed. Or they put a stitch, like it's the, I don't know, think of the, like the corner doing it to your eyelid or something. Or like you're on a maritime disaster before they send you to Davy Jones' locker. They put the stitch in there. All right, anyway. And then also, people think I have thoughts. Like, hey, do you want the... In the back of the jacket.
Right.
Do you want the one flap or do you want the double?
Do you want the double
or the one? And I say the same thing that I say to the barber. You want the back of your head round or you want it square? I'm like, however you like it. I never look
at the back of my head.
I always say, what is it now? And they go, it's kind of in between.
Well, keep it that way.
You ever get a barber that critiques your last haircut except for he did it? And it's a weird thing for you to go, you know, that is your work that you're crapping all over. That's, the last guy, I don't know if he didn't have the right equipment
or
he's a little distracted.
Yeah.
It was you. It was you.
Well, earlier this week, actually the end of last week, Southwest Airlines flew their very first unmanned flight, according to Yahoo News. And by unmanned, I mean that the entire crew was female. The captain, the co-pilot, the flight attendants, all women on October 18th from St. Louis to San Francisco. They even tweeted a picture of the unmanned flight. And
that
it's
must have been
voyage.
From my birthday.
You know, Sam,
oh,
Sam,
totally. There you go.
Sam was just on Southwest, and the flight attendant had a pretty funny thing to say about...
If you want to inflate your vest, blow into this tube, and if you want to deflate it, consult the New England Patriots or Tom Brady.
That's good. Southwest always tries out their material. That's good.
Thank you. It'd be
an uncomfortable conversation for the captain and the co-pilot to have with the Southwest stewardesses or what do we call them now?
Flight attendants.
Like they had to be going. Awesome, right? That it's we're all look at this. It's just women, and then they had to be like, you guys kind of always been doing your thing back there. Right. We're sort of the awesome part of this.
The only part there have been many flights that have been
many that have three chicks back there
serving up the drinks.
It's not really the up here part. That's
but we all did it together.
We've been doing this for a while. This is kind of my first time.
I just say we're all here, and it's hard to really. Sign an order to anybody.
I think it's kind of sexist to point it out, frankly.
But the funny thing is, when they talked about the flight and taking off, they put on the man voice like this. The flight coming in there. They all do that. Is there some school for that? Or every pilot?
Their authoritative
voice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Christian Leitner, like high-fiving Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson on the Dream Team. We did it, you guys! You kind of did.
Well, dating site SaucyDates.com.
Hold on.
Yep.
Brian, I haven't brought this up, but Brian sent... I was literally talking to Matt Porson Punisher and Seeker of Pleasure. We've expanded his nickname, Fondelier.
Enjoyer of Winter.
Enjoyer of Winter over there. About flying Southwest and about switching some flights around when you sent over an email as we spoke about some deal with Southwest for locals. But I never really got to the bottom of it.
Oh, this is a good on-the-air conversation. Southwest is having a really like remarkable deal where at first it was just targeted. Like if they sent you an offer, if you sign up for their credit card and you live in California, you'd get their companion pass for a year, which is 2-for-1 flights for wherever you go, which is really valuable. Thousands of dollars on how much you fly. And then they expanded it to everyone in California, and it's on their website, which is crazy. So I suggested to Matt, and I emailed you and Fondelier and August. I was like, hey, considering how often Adam and August and all of us really fly on Southwest, Phoenix and Reno and everywhere, Vegas and all this stuff, we'd be stupid not to get this deal because we cut our flight costs in half.
And well, it's good till the end of the month, right?
Yes, it is. You can sign up through the end of November. I'm not getting paid for this, obviously, but the deal goes
they
for the,
should.
You get the companion pass for the next year.
Well, there better not be a finite number of these because you just told everybody.
Yeah, right.
There's on their website. They probably want people to sign up.
Yeah. All right, we'll do it.
So we'll get going on that.
Well, dating site SaucyDates.com surveyed more than 22,000 international members to find out which countries had the best lovers, which would be a 10, and the worst lovers, which would be a 0. According to the survey respondents, the best male lovers can be found in 1, 2, 3 countries. Any guesses?
I say it's going to be the places that have the least innovation and make the worst car.
Interesting.
If they make cars at all.
Guam.
That makes it great lover?
Yeah, like, I feel like the places with the kick-ass space programs and the Autobahn burning cars. And maybe Italy will get in there. I'll say none of these places will have a space program.
Right.
That's my argument. That's my argument.
That's solid, and we've talked about this before, but surprisingly,
they need a wine country. I'm going to say Chile.
The best male lovers can be found in Australia, South Africa, and the good old U.S.
of A.
Number three.
The best female lovers.
Hold on. No space program, the first two that I'm aware
Australia
of.
And South
Africa. Let's check with Gianni Versace and see who we think has the best male lovers.
Mm-hmm. Female, the top prize went to Canada, France, Italy, and the U.S. And for the worst, this is interesting.
Wait.
The
female is?
Female's Canada, France, Italy, and USA.
Canada. All that's why that Canadian chick was so upset that her lover absconded with the money.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is weird. Australia made the very tip top of the list. New Zealand at the bottom.
Wow.
The worst male lovers. They ranked higher than, for male and female. So they ranked at about a 6.
Who does these tests?
Oh, boy.
22,000 people who took this survey. The lowest in the female love department were Australia and Spain. So Australia, the guys, yes, the girls, not so much.
Kevin, where did Hercules shoot?
New Zealand.
Oh.
Can you verify or deny?
You singularly had to
he left. Average.
He left.
Because he doesn't live there anymore.
I was the only one that lifted him up.
They brought in a ringer.
Yep. Well, let's just stay on the sex theme for a little bit. Doctors are finding that the number of middle-aged men who injure themselves while having sex is on the rise, and they say adventurous sex is to blame for the spike. Most of the injuries are occurring in the shower, including neck injuries, wrist fractures, ankle sprains, and back problems.
There's no traction.
Yeah.
There's no traction.
Yeah.
Doctors are also finding that more and more people are suffering hernias when the muscles of the pelvic region become strained.
Yeah, the thing I, you know,
really doing it.
All other sports, other physical activities let you know when things aren't, you know, like pick up basketball games and stuff. Your body kind of lets you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not up to it.
I remember seeing some, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, I can't remember if it's in my improv troupe or something, but it's like both knees, like the skin removed from both knees, you know? And I said, what'd you do? You fall off your scooter or something? Like, no, I was having sex all night last night. And it was like, on the carpet, just wore it off. You know what I mean?
But come on. He fell off his scooter, but he wanted a better story to tell you.
Wow.
It's a good good point. This guy was like the sex. The point is,
he wasn't from New Zealand. I can tell you that.
You get this, yeah, no, she wasn't. Oh, okay. Oh no, he wasn't. That's right. Now, right? Australia's what I'm thinking of. But it struck me that you cannot experience pain when you have a boner this way, or at least it cuts it down quite a bit. And thus, because any other activity, like if you're watching TV and someone just showed up with the scrubby side of a sponge and attempted to remove the skin from your knees, you'd feel it.
Yeah, it would be the worst.
It wouldn't just start bleeding and then they'd move on to the next one. So I think it makes you think you can do things you can't do. And also, you don't experience pain, the kind of pain you would experience if you were just... You're outside and you're cleaning the gutters out and you feel a stitch in your side, like you get off the ladder and you stop. But in the shower, you go, I can
power through.
I'm going to dig this out.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because you're shocked you're having sex.
Yeah. You're shocked you're having sex.
I'm going to plow through this.
Literally. So I think that's where the injuries really
that
occur.
That makes sense. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, some number crunchers over at ESPN thought it would be fun to figure out just how much food it took to feed an entire NFL team. They visited the Buffalo Bills and got a sense of what's going on in that cafeteria. So there's 53 players on each active roster, 10 players on the practice squad, many of whom weigh more than 300 pounds. And then there's the coaching staff and the support staff. So in order to feed all of them, it takes 1,500 pounds of meat and more than 500 pounds of vegetables per week. The meals are really heavy on the protein. The kitchen staff cooks 24 rotisserie chickens a day, which breaks down to about 700 pounds of chicken a week. They also import 600 pounds of grass-fed beef from New Zealand and serve more than 250 pounds of fish. And all that doesn't even cut down account with the smoothie bars and the shakes. They do about 60 of those a day.
Did you ever have... team dinners before games, like pasta feeds and things like that?
Carbo load?
No, we did. We never did that. We just went to, there was like a place called like the subcontractor or somebody just go there and get a sub sandwiches or something before the game.
Or like, or just, kind of
just me and five guys from the team or something.
The couple years I played football, before the Friday night for games on Saturday, pasta for dinner. The whole team gets to the cafeteria and just spaghetti for dinner.
Oh, really? Well, we would always play Friday nights, so maybe that screwed it up for us.
We didn't have lights, but we, Saturday.
Oh, you didn't have lights?
Mm-hmm. We were in a neighborhood.
Nighttime football is always awesome.
Yes, it was always awesome. We got to go to another team's stadium and play on Friday night. That was sweet.
That and the weird, rare occasion when it would rain. I would always look forward to that, that too. All right. Predictable, Gina Grad, but still interesting. Let's bring it home.
That'll be the name of my autobiography. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
And that was Kevin Sorbo back in 2017. And that'll do it for Corolla Classics. Before we get out of here, I want to remind you once again about Geico, because if you own or rent, then of course, that could be hard work, but let's make it real easy for you guys by bundling those policies with Geico. With Geico, you can bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy and make everything super easy. It's the best. All you got to do is go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is this?
It's Geico easy!
Oh, yeah. Check it out and visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
And from the bottom of both Chris and my hearts, rest in peace, Steve Grad, and rest in peace, Oswaldo Castillo.
Yes.
Mahalo and get it on.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.